Thank you, Andrea.
You know what?
I turned your microphone off for that.
I know.
That was a weird play on words.
I meant to.
Should we should we explain it, or is it best not explained?
We probably should.
No,
you explain it.
All right. Because I'm me and I'm technically challenged, Kevin, our producer, has to come in and push a lot of buttons to get the show ready. So I said to Kevin, are you turned on? Which means, can people hear the music and you when you talk?
Right.
And
the
then
microphone.
You, Miss Potty Mouth, said, boy, am I turned on, or words to that effect.
I did. I just meant I'm turned on, meaning
wow.
The microphone.
Wow.
Hey, this is rare.
Today's show will be an R-rated version of the Bill and Wendy show because
yes.
Anytime Andrea Darlis sits in, there are no rules.
No.
You it's know, like the Outback Steakhouse. No rules, just right.
And when you get a Sunday bar with it as well.
Right.
I'll be your Bloomin' Onion.
Would you be our Bloomin'
yeah.
Onion? Ryan,
yeah,
I was afraid
baby.
To ask you if you would
See?
Be our Bloomin' Onion.
You got Burrow's it. Making it dirty. There you go.
Good.
I saw the latest commercials. They've actually added, what, like fries or cheese on top of it. They've doubled it up. I don't know if you've seen the latest
Wait
commercial.
Wait a second. You still get the onion.
I've got to look this up now.
But now
I
there's
saw
fries
it.
And cheese on top of
there's
the onion.
Something on top. It's like a souped up Bloomin' Onion now.
Wow.
Cheese on top of anything is awesome. You could put cheese on top of liver and it would taste good.
It would
good.
Still be good.
Yeah.
Right. Now, for the 4th of July holiday, my wife and one of our daughters went to Wisconsin, and they are firm believers. Well, it's America's Dairyland.
Of course.
You know that.
Yeah.
They are firm believers that there's no such thing as not enough cheese. So whatever you order, you could order a Coke somewhere, and they'll just top it off with some cheddar cheese on top.
Yeah. See, the Greeks do that a lot with feta cheese.
Oh, it's that I love, too.
We put the feta on everything.
That is so good.
It's the best.
I enjoy that a great deal. I'm so proud of you, by the way. You're a fixture on the, for people who don't know, on the Steve Cochran Show, the morning show here on WGN. And you did a reference, a Flock of Seagulls reference about 40 minutes ago that I applaud. I was in the office applauding.
Thank you, Bill. Thank
I
you.
Enjoy a good Flock of Seagulls reference.
I do. You know what? I'm a big 80s music fan. I think 80s music makes everybody happy.
Can I ask you a
think
question
about
then about the 80s music?
Any question.
Give me your guiltiest pleasure. Like who from the 80s, and I'll expand it a little bit, 80s into 90s, who do you hear and just say to yourself, boy, are they underrated. I love those guys.
Oh,
there's a lot of them, isn't
I was
there?
A big Bengals fan.
I enjoy the Bengals a great deal.
Love the Bengals. Love the Go-Go's.
Anytime I think... now, who was Walk Like an Egyptian? Was that
was the
Bengals?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Anytime I see anybody walking like an Egyptian, I think of them immediately.
See, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Go West. I mean, there's all these one-hit wonders. How about Midnight Oil?
Oh, with the bald guy?
Yeah. Beds Are Burning.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I loved... And I mean, I'm just an 80s geek.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine about a week ago about Duran Duran, and I said still to this day, if a Duran Duran song comes on the radio, it's an automatic turn-up for me, and I find myself knowing most, if not all, of the words, and I think that's one of your most underrated bands. And he said, how can you listen to that junk about
Duran
Duran?
Oh, my God. I'm seeing them. They're at Ravinia.
No, are they really?
Yeah, and I'm seeing them Saturday, and here's a blast from the past. Guess who's opening for Duran Duran?
For Duran Duran, who would be opening for them? Does it make sense? Like, is it a band that's similar to Duran Duran?
Sort of. It's a little earlier. They're more of
are
a
they British?
70s band. No. They're more 70s disco funk.
Who would that be? Who is it? Tavares.
No, it's Chic.
Oh, I know those guys.
But if I say Chic, do you know the song? Do you know what song comes to mind? So Chic.
Lay Chic. Is it
Chic?
They sang a song, Lay Chic. Oh, that's some good stuff.
Isn't that good?
Did you guys watch the 80s documentary on music?
No, where was that?
So CNN's been running this series all summer long on the 80s, and they focused one episode specifically on the music. Of course, Prince,
really?
Michael Jackson, all the bands you guys are naming. It's,
some good
stuff. Out of all of them, I watched the whole thing. They talked about the Challenger. They talked about the fall of the Berlin Wall. That one was
the music
the
one
most,
was the best.
That
the
was the most fun to watch.
It's the best. I would bet that there were more one-hit wonders in the 80s than
Easily.
Any other decade.
Well, without a doubt.
It was, they learned how to craft a music video.
Right.
And that's what sold them. You get all these British bands. It was the second British invasion because all of a sudden these Brits knew how to create a video that lived on MTV and ran who knows how many times, a dozen times a day.
But now the plus and the minus of that is, and I've heard people in the music industry say this, I'm not the first person to say this, is a lot of times it was more important in that era, in the early days of MTV, for a band to look good than to sound good. So you had some pretenders to the throne. You
Wait
had
a minute.
Some
you,
bands.
We can dance. Right. We can dance.
Hey, safety dance. By the way, one
was
of my
Men Without Hats.
Men
Is
Without
that
Hats,
that
and people think they were a one-hit wonder, but they did the follow-up with "Pop Goes the World."
Oh yeah, so they were a two-hit wonder.
Well, that seems like pretty thought-out lyrics right there. I don't know.
It's sure, true.
The video is probably very compelling.
Hey, after you follow the safety dance video. Where you had, it was like the mid, remember that it was like the medieval video,
yeah,
and they were dancing,
sure,
around the Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
No, it's hard, very hard to top.
To follow.
We used to, my friends and I, before high school, like we would congregate at somebody's house and MTV was always on. And if it was a video that we particularly liked or had not seen before, we were all late for class. And
sure,
we would use that as an excuse. We would say, well, we were watching MTV and there was a video on that was great. And the teachers would just they would do that thing where they look up in the air and
yeah,
they'd shake their head no.
They'd roll their eyes.
Oh,
remember
this generation.
And in the MTV days when they played videos, remember Friday night videos?
Mm-hmm.
On Friday night it would be late at night and we'd get to stay up and watch the videos and it would be, you know,
yeah,
Madonna's debut song or
yep,
whatever it would be.
Yep. A lot of times they would tell you, they would give you a schedule of when a new video was debuting, not just on Fridays. Like I still remember when a lot of new Michael Jackson videos would come out.
Sure.
They'd play them every hour at a certain time and people would base their schedules on that. I don't think people would do that today.
Did he make
they?
Any good ones?
Yeah.
He did one good one.
Thriller.
It was Thriller, Ryan.
Oh,
it's,
I beat
it's
it.
At
was,
the,
beat it was
library.
A really good one, too. Beat It was a good one. Bad was pretty good.
Yeah.
They had some good
He did
ones.
All right.
Thriller was the one. I don't know if you... Now, did you guys have sleepovers? Because the girls would always go to each other's houses and have
we
sleepovers.
We didn't have sleepovers, but we often thought about you girls having sleepovers.
Okay, right.
That's how our minds
we would
operated.
Have those. We were the epitome of the 80s, you know, kids, and we'd watch the video. We'd watch the Thriller
sure.
video and then try and dance like the zombies.
You can't do it.
Could you lean?
Yes. Yes.
Your eyes turn?
Yes.
We'd always try and learn the words.
Sorry, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen the video.
No, don't. Yeah. You got
Ryan.
People go out and see it.
Fine.
No, for us, the attraction there was the girl in that video was an actress / model named Ola Ray, who was also a Playboy playmate. So for the guys, you got to see Ola Ray dancing around with Michael Jackson.
That's who you watch.
Now, ironically, and I'm not the first, again, I'm not the first person to break this story, but MTV didn't want Michael Jackson on in the early days, too ethnic for their liking in the very early days.
Is that true?
And then, yeah.
Wow.
And then somebody said, yeah, but he's kind of crossover. He's getting to be very, very popular. And then eventually they acquiesced, and you saw a lot of Michael Jackson on MTV.
That
but
was
in
a
the
big
early
part
days,
of the,
nothing.
That was a big part of the documentary about people saying, wait a minute, all we're seeing is white acts.
It was
you know,
in the
a lot
early,
of British
yeah.
and a lot of white acts,
oh,
and we're not seeing much diversity.
Go back to that first year to 18 months, and it's amazing because it was white guy, white girl, white guy, white girl,
sure.
white band, white guy. That was the whole lineup. And then eventually it became a little bit more diverse, thankfully.
I loved it. Boy,
thankfully.
And do they even still play videos on MTV?
No, I don't think they do at all, although I just read somewhere that they're going to go back to it, to not to the extent that they used to, where it was wall-to-wall videos, but they're going to find ways in their schedule to incorporate that again.
The artists don't need it anymore.
No, they don't.
They
do
used
they?
To need it, and now, I mean, Beyonce could put up a video on YouTube, and it'll have, you know, 8 million views
right.
by the
That's
end
true.
Of the day.
Right.
That's true.
She
yep.
doesn't need it.
Yeah. How about that? Look at how that's changed.
Boy,
Isn't
I know.
That crazy? All right. For no reason whatsoever,
None.
We're reminiscing about the music of the 80s and 90s and MTV. If you want to jump in, you can. 312-981-7200. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Andrea Dowlis, filling in for Wendy Snyder. And, of course, you know Bloomin' Onion there in the newsroom. stick around. More show ahead. It's us on WGN. Name the song?
Girls on Film.
Girls on Film by Duran Duran. One time, can I take the next 20 seconds to brag just a little bit?
Yeah.
At another radio station, they were coming through town. Duran Duran was coming through town. And Simon Le Bon was on with us, the lead singer of Duran Duran. And he referred to me as his mate, which I guess people in Europe do. In England, they just call you their mate. And I almost tipped over. Because I went, one of the guys that I think is one of the coolest musicians of all time called me his mate. Now, we didn't do what mates do. We didn't go out pubbing or anything like that. But still, just to have that designation meant a lot to me.
Simon Le Bon, I think, was one of the number one girl locker posters.
Probably.
In junior high and high school, you had lockers.
Yep.
I don't know if they even still have lockers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we would put pictures of, you know, the hot guys.
And
just
Simon
I'm sure
Le
Bon. You would do. And Simon Le Bon.
Yep.
And the Taylors, too.
Andy Taylor.
Nick Taylor.
Yeah.
Weren't they in Duran
Duran? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they went on to form Power Station, kind of a side group.
That's right.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know how they got their name, Duran Duran?
Oh, I should know this.
Everyone should know this.
You're
they
not going to
teach this in history class.
Don't take my 80s card away.
I won't take
no,
your 80s
don't,
card
please.
Away.
No, don't, please. How?
Ryan, do you know how Duran Duran got their name?
No, sorry. Maybe, should I ask Suri? Suri might know.
Suri would know. Duran Duran was a minor character in the Jane Fonda movie Barbarella.
Really?
There was an angel named Duran Duran. And then they sang a song called Electric Barbarella later on in their career.
I like that song.
Everything came full circle. I do too. For reasons that no one can explain, we're talking about the music of the 80s and 90s and Duran Duran and MTV. We're at 312-981-7200. Here's Greg. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hey, good morning, mates.
What's up? Oh, now, doesn't that feel nice to hear, Andrea? Be honest.
Good. Yeah, thanks, Greg.
It does.
I can't claim the stardom of Simon LeBon.
Oh, that's all right. What do you know about MTV?
Well, yeah, this is pretty interesting. I'm a big fan of David Bowie and his music all throughout the generations. And one day I was just kind of surfing on YouTube, and I came across this interview that Bowie did in, like, 1984 or 83, right before Michael Jackson hit big with Thriller. And it was with one of their VJs. And in the interview, he kind of turned the interview where he was asking the VJs these questions about, essentially, why are you not playing black artists on MTV?
Yeah.
And the VJ was responding in, like, a pretty unsophisticated manner, just saying, well, you know, our public doesn't want it, blah, blah, blah. And then Bowie saying, well, if your public doesn't want it, maybe you need to think about expanding your public, this, that, and the other. But it was just a really amazing, prescient moment, I thought, with respect to the advent of the importance of black music.
It's so funny because there was never a time in MTV's history where they were heavy with black music. But there were so many important artists at the time that just were not getting airplay, like Michael Jackson and Prince, just to name two.
Right.
And then finally they did wise up and they incorporated them. But it was very strange in those early days when you'd watch it. There was almost no black representation whatsoever.
Right. And then they had the show, I think it was Yo MTV Raps.
Yep.
And Run DMC. Yeah. One of the guys from Run DMC hosted it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. Then they branched out.
But how cool of David Bowie, Greg, David Bowie to mention that is so smart.
And not to mention, it was just like ripping into them in a very polished and professional way.
Sure. You
know, so it wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but just kind of laying out the facts.
Yep.
And in a very intelligent manner. So kudos to Bowie.
Absolutely. Yeah. I miss him very much, by the way. I know he hasn't been gone that long, but anytime I think about him, he's one of those guys where you just go, how could David Bowie not be with us anymore?
No.
You know?
Have you heard his new album, Lazarus?
Only a couple of songs. You've
Me
heard
too.
It on
No, just a couple.
Just
same
a
as you. I love it.
Yeah,
but it's Bowie.
Good.
I love everything
yeah,
he does.
It's amazing. It's yeah. amazing. Yeah.
Well, what a loss.
Great show.
Thanks, Greg.
And be well, my mates.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Greg.
Can you name the original five MTV VJs?
Okay. Alan Hunter.
Martha Quinn.
J.J. Jackson.
Yes.
Nina Blackwood.
Yes. You're missing one.
Give me a hint.
Frizzy hair, dark hair.
Mark.
Yep.
Oh, I know who it is. Mark.
His last name is the same as a producing company that does a lot of game shows.
Carlo.
No. Nope.
Burnett.
Nope.
Leff.
You know, no. Mark Goodman.
Mark Goodman.
Oh, no, is it Goodman Todd? No, it's Goodson Todman. So I'm wrong.
But
I'm wrong about that part.
But I was going to say DeCastro next. But
No, it's not that either.
Mark Goodman.
Now,
yeah.
Here's something kind of cool. About a year and a half ago, Alan Hunter, one of the ones you just mentioned, had a book about those early formative years of MTV, and he was coming through with his book, and Wendy and I had him on.
I remember because I thought, oh, he was to me.
Did you get to meet him that day?
I didn't. I didn't, but I heard the interview, and he was my little crush.
He moved to Evanston. I don't know that he still lives there, but his wife was taking classes at Northwestern, so he lived in Evanston for a while. So he said to me, can we have, I'm new to town. Do you want to have lunch? So he and I went out and had lunch. He got recognized by some people.
No
but
kidding.
He told me all this great inside stuff about those early days. Those guys, those first five, had no idea what they were in for. They went in on just a regular audition, and MTV was so new, nobody knew where it was headed. And he said, and then all of a sudden, he couldn't leave the house without being mobbed because it was such a daily ritual. You know, they would tape like a whole week's worth of shows in an afternoon.
Okay.
You know, and he said, so for the rest of the time, if I'm walking around town, everywhere I go, I was like a rock star, and in reality, he wasn't a rock star. He was just bringing up other rock stars.
They really, you're right. They revolutionized music and music videos, of course, because MTV was so new. And do you remember they did this traveling bus? And I remember I was maybe in freshman and sophomore year in high school, and they came to Woodfield Mall.
Yeah.
And it was like this the first time that you got to meet, and the lines were, you know, I remember at the mall, you know, the lines are just wrapped around the ramps and the food court to meet Alan Hunter and Martha Quinn and the VJs because they were coming through with a bunch of the memorabilia. It's like the Hard Rock Cafe on tour, kind of. You know?
I'm trying to think if anything will ever have, and you know, people certainly said this about Elvis Presley, and people said this about the Beatles, and I'm sure people said this about Pat Boone, but I wonder if anything will have that kind of influence musically again. I can't think of what would have to happen for there to be that kind of revolution in music again like there was with MTV. Can something happen like that again?
I don't know. I think you're absolutely right. Because like Ryan said, now it's just everywhere. I mean, you can pick up your phone and get anything that you need.
Right.
But do you think that, there was a change when the you know, the iPhone came out and, you know, all of a sudden everyone had all of this access to music at the touch of a button? You didn't have to have a CD anymore. You didn't have to have a tape.
Well,
you know, you could go between Beyonce and Justin Bieber, you know, just naming a bunch of bands.
There was that with the iPhone, and there was certainly that with iTunes. And there have been things that have kind of changed the way that we take music in. But I can't think of what would have to happen for something to have the impact like MTV, where all of a sudden music wasn't just something you heard, but that you watched.
Right.
Like, I remember artists coming forth saying, it's changed the way I write music, because when I write a song now, it's not up to me, per se, to show people what that song is. It used to be up to the listener to kind of figure out what that song meant, but now with a video, you were kind of force-fed what that song represented.
Right. There were casting calls.
Right.
And yeah, so the video would really take center stage over the music.
Yeah, that's true. Let me get another call in real quick. Hey, David, you're on WGN. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Really good. Fine. Do you have something you wanted to say about MTV in those early days of the music videos?
Yeah, one of the creators of MTV was Michael Nesmith from
of the Monkees. Monkees.
Oh, the Monkees. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a.
He had done a promo film for an album he had out in the late 70s for a
Elephant
song
Parts.
Rio.
Yeah.
Oh, right, right. He did the show Elephant Parts, and he had developed a little show called Pop Clips for Nickelodeon. They were just like 5 minute little, you know, little videos and things like that. So based off of that, he had developed one of the co-developers of MTV.
I've heard him explain how he tried to sell that to people, and he was saying, in the future, you won't just hear music, you'll see it. And he said people would just stare at him with a gaze that just saw, like,
yeah, like what?
You can't see music. What are you talking about? You know?
Well, I have an interview with him from like 78 or 79. I think it was for his album, the album that song, Infinite Rider on the Big Dogma.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, you know, someday we're not even going to be reading newspapers. You know, you're going to be sitting at your desk and clicking on a screen, and the news of the day will come up on there. And people thought that was kind of science fiction back then.
He was a visionary. How about that? Well, David, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, take care. All right, we have a lot on today's show, so stick around. It's Bill F. and Andre Darlis, who's sitting in for Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Trees with corduroy squirrels, a badger head on my best girl. Bluegrass don't seem right to me.
That voice you're hearing, that beautiful voice, that gift from the angels, is Tim Cavanaugh, musician, comedian, accountant.
I have an accountant.
Oh, you have an account.
I have an account. No,
what do you have?
I have
an accountant?
I do have an account.
Do you?
Yeah. Mostly because of this new CD I've got.
Well, let's talk about that.
It's like, man, oh, man, I can't keep track of all the money that's coming in.
Is money pouring in, Tim Cavanaugh?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. No, I had to open up a second account because I just had the one that was a Christmas club. And,
right, but now it's year-round.
And now it is year-round, yeah. It's sort of like, yeah, the presents are going to be a little bit better this
year. Oh, this
year
is going to be very generous.
Yeah.
Please tell me you're not just in this business for the money, Tim, please.
You know, of course I'm not. No, I'm in it for the love and the praise and caramel corn.
Oh, do you get caramel corn for
being
in music?
Yeah, you know what? You know, You know the chicken that plays a piano?
Yeah,
and they give him a little piece of corn?
Yeah.
I do the same thing, only it's caramel corn. When I get done, the club owner just tosses something in. I catch it, and it's fun.
You're
really good.
You're scaring Andrea Darlis. You're
say
frightening Andrea.
The chicks and the booze. I didn't think he was going to say the caramel
corn. No, it's caramel corn.
Yeah. No, it's caramel corn.
Tim's motivation
No. Chicks and booze.
you had enough of that.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Andrea, have you ever seen a guy more just affectionate than Tim is when he came in? Now, Tim and I have known each other for at least 25 years,
yes,
maybe longer.
A long time.
But you're just meeting for the first time, and he was all over you.
He was more all over you, which got awkward, but I was very
happy.
Well,
this is the first time that you and I have met.
Face-to-face,
although
yes.
I've used your name. And
you dropped
this
it.
It's
a co-sign for loans.
It's gotten you
stuff?
Absolutely nowhere.
Why,
huh?
You know, I still take graduate level courses, and
you
I had
do?
Yeah, and I
yes, I didn't
I
know
do.
That.
Yes, I do.
That's great.
And I do out of Schaumburg Community College.
Oh, listen to you, name dropper.
And we had a question on one of the tests that was like, okay, when we say 61 AD. What does the AD stand for?
Yeah.
And I put down Andrea Darlis.
I get that a lot.
And
I get that a lot.
I got half credit for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I dated a guy. Dated meaning, you know, we held hands in the hallway maybe for half a day.
Yeah.
His name was Bill Caldwell, and everybody thought that was so cool.
BC and AD.
BC and AD.
Oh,
that appeared
man.
On a lot of Trapper Keepers.
Wow.
Historians thought you guys were like the couple of the decade.
Right.
That was that's like how AC and DC got together.
Right. Right.
It's a whole other story, Tim.
That's the same thing.
Andrew
wow.
Cross and David Cross. They were related, which was also kind of a
scandal. Yeah, that's weird. That's kind of weird. I want to pay you a huge compliment. Please accept this as a compliment. This new CD, Love, Fish, and Sausages,
yes.
not only has great music in it, but the volume of music is just unbelievable.
Astounding, isn't it?
I can't believe how many songs are on this
CD. There's 21 songs
21
on this
songs
CD.
On one CD.
But they're comedy CDs, comedy songs, so sometimes the
they're
songs
shorter.
Are short.
Yeah, they're
right.
short.
You know, and then occasionally we have a longer song.
Yeah.
That this format, it makes it perfect. Songs that I can't really do necessarily in a comedy club or a concert. Because I'm not famous enough and people aren't going to sit
don't
through
say that.
3 minutes of something.
You're very
don't
famous.
Don't say that.
Everybody
you're
knows
very
you.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Hence the Christmas Club.
Yes.
And
right, I understand that. When you write, when you put out a CD, Tim, that has 21
songs
on it, I'm guessing it probably took you years to write that many songs.
It did. This is a compilation of many, many years of work. I would say... How long have we known each other? 25 years?
Over 25 years.
I would say that a lot of that predates you.
Is that true? That
yeah,
long
a
ago?
Of, a lot of this is from my high school and college days.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? Can I do a song?
I don't.
Can I
do
a song live?
I don't think that's a good idea.
Because I'd
do
a song.
Are you okay
I'm
with
okay.
that?
I'd
all right.
I
well, you give it a shot.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. All right. This one. Okay. I think you'll like this one.
Right.
Here we go.
All right.
I wish that I was older. It sucks being this young. If my mom had had me 3 years sooner, I wouldn't be so bummed. When my brother was my age, he got a fake ID. I didn't understand it then, but now I clearly see how sweet my life would be if I was just my age plus 3. A fake ID, that's all I want to get the senior discount at stores and restaurants. Get AARP magazine, my very own copy, no more borrowing. Go to Denny's, get a senior slam. Announce to the widows, ladies, here I am. Let a blue hair hottie take me to her crib. I'll be the Don Juan of assisted living. How sweet my life would be if I had a fake ID.
Wow, well, that's just beautiful. I don't know. Like, the Beatles have been around a long time. I don't think they have a single song about fake IDs, and here
they
comes
don't.
You.
They don't, and that's one of the reasons I did it.
to get the Beatles?
I studied a lot of the Beatles stuff, and I said, I don't want to do any subject that they've even touched upon. So there's no Yellow Submarine.
No Love,
no
Love,
Octopus,
Love, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
No.
No one named Lucy.
Nobody named Lucy.
No.
Penny Lane is done. Well, that was a good move.
What, Penny Lane?
Oh, did you have a song called Penny Lane? I'm sorry.
Oh,
I shouldn't have brought
shoot.
That up. That's
really?
All right. I'm sure it's different.
What was it called? Penny Lane?
Something like Penny Lane. It doesn't matter. I'm sure it's completely different.
Yeah.
Well, that was beautiful. That was just beautiful, Tim. That was insanely beautiful.
No, it was.
That's from the new CD, Love, Fish, and Sausages.
I love that.
And where
can
people
everywhere.
Get this?
Well, they can get it at
You
the
say
usual
everywhere,
places.
But you can't go to Subway and get this.
iTunes, Amazon. Google Play, CD Baby.
So almost everywhere.
Picklehead Music.
They have it?
Which is a little specialty nice. Thing that sells a lot of comedy stuff.
Is it
stuff.
On Pandora?
You know what? It's on Spotify.
Spotify
I don't know if it's on
has
Pandora.
It?
I have Spotify now.
Is
All
it
right.
on J-Date? Can I get this
get...
on J-Date?
Love Spotify.
Oh, absolutely.
You can get it on J-Date.
J-Date.
I don't know where it's
I don't even know what that is.
It's
not
Tinder.
Sure.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's
is
everywhere.
Is that Jewish Singles?
Yeah, Jewish Singles Dating.
Yeah.
Now here's, I have to ask your expertise in this. Andrea has done stand-up comedy twice, but
Great.
Wants to do it more often.
Oh, sure she should.
You've been doing
terrified.
It for how, it's scary.
Terrifying.
It's very scary. How many years, Tim, for you doing
I've been
stand-up?
Doing stand-up for 35 years.
That's a
probably.
Long time.
Long time, yeah.
What advice do you give somebody like Andrea who is new to the game of stand-up?
Yes. First of all, pick out your favorite popcorn.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
All right,
yeah.
And then you put that in your writer.
Yep,
that
you
immediately
must have
after
it.
Your set, whether it goes well or not.
Oh, I get to pick
that
what
you
I...
get. That you get caramel corn or you get the cheese corn or whatever.
DeCoste didn't tell me any of that.
Yeah, you got to ask for that.
No, that's the reason that I stay in it. It's fantastic.
You've mentioned caramel corn twice in 12 minutes. You must
love
caramel corn.
You should see the backseat of my car. It's like a... It's
like Garrett's in the backseat of his
it's
car.
It's like a popery.
It's like a popery?
No, I need advice, though, because I told Bill, I said to my mom before I did the stand-up, I said a little prayer. I said, oh, God, please... Just let me be funny. Let them laugh at least one of the
sure.
jokes
right,
that I
right,
tell.
Right.
And my mom said it's funny. I said the same prayer. I said, "Oh, thank you for the vote of confidence."
Wow,
no,
that's
I just
great.
Filled
yeah.
the I just filled the auditorium with my whole family.
What's
oh,
wrong
fantastic.
With that?
And I'm Greek, so that's pretty
oh,
much half of Chicago.
God.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I have cousins. I have fake cousins, and I said, "Hi, I'm Andre," and they laughed, and I said, "Good," because I know people in the Greek mafia, so y'all better laugh.
We're exactly right. That's. Well, you've got most of the secrets down. I mean, my one piece of advice is don't take advice from anybody.
No, never.
Oh, not
Solid
even you
advice.
Two? Not even you guys?
No.
You're
number
stars.
Number two, get on stage as often as you can.
Okay.
However.
Whether I'm invited or not,
you know,
just
if
show
it has,
up.
If it's comedy related, it's better. You know, you'll go further. Than,
don't just
instance,
go to AA meetings.
Karaoke is fine. AA meetings.
Right.
A lot
I don't
of
think I'd be
their,
a big hit there.
A lot no. of people got their start at AA
sure.
meetings.
Did they?
And that's great because that's a very, very sober audience. And if you can make them laugh, are you kidding me? You
right.
get them into a bar
the
setting.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Don't do a shot before I get
no,
out.
Not,
okay,
No. Tim Cavanaugh is here, musician, comedian, orthodontist. His new album is called Love, Fish, and Sausages. Go to timcav.com, TIMCAV.com, for all the information. We're going to give some dates where people can come and see you live, correct? We'll
Excellent.
Do that in a little bit.
Sure.
Stick around, Bill Leff and Andre Darlison for Wendy Snyder on WGN.
She said she's never coming home. I told her I was gonna go out and drown my sorrows. Gonna go out drinking like there's no tomorrow. She said, now don't be stupid. Don't you drink and drive. I said, I don't care if I get another stinking DUI. She said, stay there, you idiot. Don't get in that truck. I'm gonna come by and pick you up. She told me to drink in last night. She dropped me off at 9 different bars and waited in her car outside. I tried to forget her with a bottle of Jack. Then I'd stumble out to her Cadillac. She drove me to drinking last night.
Oh, that's Tim Kavanaugh, musician, comedian, naval commander. His new album is Love, Fish, and Sausages. Go to timcav.com. There's a lot of information there. You scared me a little bit because part of your rhyme there was the word truck, and I know you, and I got very, very nervous.
You know what? This album, Love, Fish, and Sausages, and I don't know if I mentioned that, and it's available at iTunes. It's mostly clean. There's one song that's kind of scandalous.
Oh no!
And that's the one that we chose to make a video.
You did,
yeah. And it isn't out yet because we still have to get permission from a lot of people.
There's still some editing that needs to be done.
But I was glad you were talking about MTV because I've sent videos to MTV for the last 10 years.
No, stop sending them. They're not showing videos anymore, Tim. You're wasting your time.
Put them up it's on, not just me?
No,
put them
it's
on the YouTube.
Right, put them on the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
Oh, put them on the YouTube.
Okay.
That's your best bet.
Okay, what's in it for me?
Well, just the personal satisfaction of knowing you made the country better through your music.
Yeah, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly
that's your
what
goal.
I want to do.
That
song could be the greatest love song of all time, though.
It could be.
She drove me to drink like that. It really is. That. It's kind of a nice thing.
It is kind of nice. I mean, think about it.
She still has some affection for him. And that she doesn't want him to,
drink and drive.
To drink and
that's
drive.
Right. So, it's a love story.
So it is a love. There's lots of love stories.
I'm noticing
CD.
A lot more country influence in you than the old days. You're like the new Conway Twitty.
Well, the couple of songs that we've used, do have a kind of a country feel to them. But there's some rock and roll on here.
Yeah.
And can we talk about the vehicle song?
I would love to talk about that with our friend Jim Peter.
Because I am so excited about this. You can't believe. That this is like a dream come true for me. I mean, because Jim Peterik and the Ides of March, great band.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're
awesome.
And after 50 years, they're still going strong and they're still great. And it's a great rock and roll band. And being a stand up comic, every stand up comic wants to be either a hockey player or a rock star.
That's true, isn't it?
It's pretty much true.
Yeah.
And so hockey, look at my teeth.
That's not going to happen.
I'm not going to let that happen to me. So rock and roll was what I was shooting for. And I wrote a song that was a parody of Vehicle, the big hit from the Ides of March.
Sure.
From 1970s.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while. And I wrote it from the perspective of, okay, what if the Vehicle guy wrote the same song 20 years later?
Oh, that's a great
what
idea.
What would it be like?
Yeah.
And I wrote the song and... Boy, was I nervous the time I did it for Jim Peterik the first time.
You're paying tribute to him, and you want him
to
enjoy it.
And I want him to like it.
Sure, of course.
And I want him to not sue me, just for even doing it. Fortunately, I'd never performed it anywhere. So if he said, okay, no, I don't ever want to see the light of day, that would have been fine. Okay. All right, but he liked it. And he liked it so much, he agreed to sing it with me.
Wow.
On my new CD.
Wow.
It's cool.
Yeah, so it's a track called Vehicle Man. And actually, he came up with the name Vehicle Man.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Vehicle 2, Vehicle Revisited.
2.0.
Exactly right, yeah. But Vehicle Man is absolutely perfect. And so if we can play, can we play that?
Kevin, is that all right? Do we have permission from his estate?
From the Peter.
You know what? Yeah. Jim is still alive, and he might be listening right now. Oh, so I'm sure he'll appreciate the estate joke.
He's so awesome. Have you seen him lately? He dyed his hair bright purple.
Oh, he's great.
He looks fantastic.
No. I've done some work with him. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, great songwriter. He wrote so many. He wrote Eye of the Tiger.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
You know, and so many other songs.
Yep.
It's like
Happy Birthday to You. He wrote that.
Happy Birthday.
The National Anthem.
Uh-huh.
He wrote that.
Absolutely. Bunny Hop.
Bunny Hop.
That was a different Peterik, I think.
Is that a different one?
Peter.
Whatever. That's
Peter
right.
Peterik Cottontail.
That's who it is.
Peter Cottontail.
Here's a little bit of the song. This is Vehicle Man with Tim Kavanaugh and the great Jim Peterik.
Yes.
Listen to this.
The neighborhood. I see you got kids the same age as mine. We're gonna get along really good. Yeah, I'm that vehicle man. I take the kids where they wanna go. I'm their vehicle mama. And my dad, I'm sure you know.
I go to soccer, T-ball, piano lessons, Sunday school.
Great God in heaven, I need to carpool.
That's beautiful.
How cool is that?
That's beautiful.
How cool is that? That's the same guy.
Now, that's great, you on your own, but the fact that he's there singing along with you and loving it, that makes it even better.
Oh, it's incredible.
Congratulations.
It was incredible. Every time I listen to it, it's like, I can't believe
how
this
did that
happen? I don't know.
Because I know Garfunkel turned you down more than once, so it's nice to have somebody from the world of music acknowledge you.
Exactly.
Good. Can you just give a couple of the upcoming dates, Tim? Do you have the sheet in front of you? Where
you know
you're
what?
Be?
I don't, but I can certainly give you the
just
dates.
Just give us a couple because
oh
you're going to be.
Oh my God! Look at these.
You're busy.
I can't believe that
where
you're going to
be.
This. I'm going to be on Carnival Cruise Line the Freedom.
All right.
July 13th through 19th, and I'm going to be at Fump Fest. Now this is a cool thing.
Fump Fest.
Fump Fest. FUMP stands for Funny Music Project.
Oh, all right.
And it's a bunch of people who write funny songs, and they're big Dr. Demento fans. And so I performed a couple times for them, and I'm going to be performing. And that's in Elk Grove Village, and that's coming up August 27th.
August 27th,
so,
Elk Grove Village,
you know, make
Fump
sure
Fest.
You make a plan there. And I will be at the Minnesota State Fair. Yeah.
That's September?
Minnesota State Fair at the Liney Lodge Band Shell.
Oh, nice.
At the Minnesota State Fair for two nights.
All right.
And that's coming up September 4th and 5th. And then Thrasher Opera House with my good friend Emo Phillips.
What a show that
Thrasher
is.
Thrasher Opera House up in Green Lake, Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
A great place to see live comedy. So this will be our second time appearing together at Thrasher.
Tim, great to see you. You look great. The music sounds fantastic. The new album is Love, Fish, and Sausages. You can get it wherever music is sold. Go to Tim's website. That's timcav.com and find out where you can see him live. Thanks for being here.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks. Oh, thank you're you. Awesome. All right. A quick break and then Ryan with the news. It's Bill Leff and Andrea Darlison for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ryan, can you name this TV theme song?
It's the A-Team, right?
No, it is not the A-Team.
I'm sorry. It's MASH.
It's not MASH or the A-Team.
What am I doing? Hold
on. Wait, if I say that, don't Google it.
I do have to say, Ryan, in your defense, this is a little bit before your time.
Can I say the two names?
Yeah, please.
All right, here's a clue for you, Ryan.
Oh, okay. I'm still playing. All right.
Ponch and John.
Ponch and John.
Oh, Chips. I'm sorry.
Chips.
You know, a little early for me. I did have the figures.
Did you have the Chips figures?
Yeah, I had Chips. I had Dukes of Hazzard. I had Fall Guy. I had a Fall Guy Matchbox car.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if I was actually able to watch those television shows or not, but I had all that stuff.
The Knight Rider car?
Sure.
I had a Knight Rider car. Just you hit the license plate and it would talk to you. So
right.
That was
the
really
lights
cool.
would go on.
Wish I still had that thing.
You'd be a very wealthy man, right?
I wouldn't be participating in much news.
No.
I'd just be playing up here.
Right, right.
Which, why is today any different, right?
Right. It should be the same. The reason I bring this up is the actor who played... I want to say John Poncherella. Ponch was his nickname, but I think the character's name was John Poncherella.
Right.
Right. And
Eric
that would
Estrada,
be Eric
right?
Estrada.
Yeah.
One of our, I believe, our greatest thespians of all time. I know people like to always throw out names like Robert De Niro as being one of our best, but I think Eric Estrada is probably one of our finest actors of all time. Eric Estrada has a new job. Can you guess what it is?
Oh, no. A TV pitch man.
He is now, no. But he's done that in the past.
Yeah.
He has done that in the past. Eric Estrada is now a full-fledged police officer in real life.
Really?
Yes.
Did he go through the police training academy?
Yep. Eric Estrada has been sworn in as a member of the St. Anthony Police Department. This is in Idaho.
Ah.
Where I don't think there's crime. I don't know that there's any. If there is crime in Idaho, I have a feeling it's one person stealing another's potatoes.
Yeah, we don't do a crime wrap-up on the weekend.
In Idaho?
Of the Idaho. No.
You don't get a lot of Idaho crime. He was sworn in as a member of the St. Anthony, Idaho Police Department, their reserve force. It says here, law enforcement has been a passion of Eric Estrada's for quite a while. This is actually the actor's second go at being a police officer. In 2009, he was a full-time deputy sheriff in Bedford County, Virginia. Now, I think that was a TV show. Didn't they show him like pulling people over and they would laugh and go, "Well, you can't arrest me. You're an actor playing."
Punch.
Yeah.
I would laugh if Eric Estrada pulled me over. He used to be pretty easy on the eyes.
He's still a good-looking guy.
But
still is.
I would think I was on like candid camera.
Right. Right.
Or it'd be a joke.
Right. Just because you played a police officer doesn't mean you can actually arrest me.
Right.
And plus, this is Idaho where there's no crime.
Yeah. I mean, if Mr. T pulled me over,
right.
I'd go, I'm
right.
so sorry. I don't even know what I did.
I pity the fool who steals potatoes. I pity the fool. He's also heavily involved in the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. He's been doing that since 1998.
Oh, that's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
He will kick off the St. Anthony Police Department's new ICAC task force in his new role. Here's what he says. It's a small community, and they have a need for what we want to do. They will allow us to do it, and we will help them do it. This according to the former Chip star. He told Idaho's KPVI, which is apparently a television station. Again, I didn't know there was TV in Idaho.
No, me neither.
I'm just learning that now.
Nope.
He says that education is the best prevention when it comes to predators lurking online.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he says about that. The online sexual predator will take his time to groom a child on the internet. They will send them gifts. They will befriend them. They will be there for them. And before they know it, the child has disclosed every bit of information about themselves. Now they know where they live. I like that he seems to be taking this seriously. Like at first when I read this, I thought to myself, this is just a goof. He played a cop, so he's going to pretend to be a cop. But he's actually getting down in the trenches and doing whatever he can.
I think this is very cool. Population of St. Anthony, any guesses? I just Googled it.
Of St. Anthony, Idaho?
St. Anthony, Idaho.
I'm going to say, and I don't know, I didn't Google it, but I'm going to say 9.
No, a little higher than that.
11?
I thought it was very, very low, too. It's not 11.
What,
it's 3,400.
Oh, so a fairly decent-sized community.
Yeah, it's not too small. But I mean, small compared to Chicago, of course.
Right. But in a town that size, it's one of those towns where everybody kind of knows each other and their business, and they probably don't have a very large police department, so it would be weird that even a small percentage of it is made up of Eric Estrada.
Yeah, and I wonder if they even... Well, I'm sure they have to know who he is for
right.
his acting career.
Oh, without a doubt.
Can I say acting career?
Yeah, it's a stretch, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you think any of the criminals from the old Chip show will be making cameo appearances in this town in Idaho and actually committing crimes just to kind of reestablish the friendship and the bond that they had all those years ago on Chips?
I would hope so, and I would hope that... Who was the actor who played John, his partner?
Larry Wilcox.
Oh, what a little hottie.
Right?
It now, was Larry if he Wilcox. Made an appearance with him,
then you know something's
cool.
going on.
Yeah.
And their boss was Robert Pine,
yes.
who is the father of Chris Pine, who's the guy who is Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek movies.
Get out. That's his father?
Dad. Yeah.
Oh, no wonder Chris
their
Pine
father
got
and
in.
Son. It couldn't be his looks.
No, not
that,
at
what
all.
A hideous human being he is to look at.
Holy cow, I didn't know the relation.
Yeah, Robert Pine is his dad. Isn't that crazy?
Look at this.
All right. So if you're in Idaho and you get pulled over by a guy and you say to yourself, okay, I see the flashing lights. I know I've been going a little too fast. But boy, does that guy look like Ponch from Chips. He can't possibly arrest me. You would be wrong, sir or madam. That is actually a police officer.
Didn't Steven Seagal do something like this a few years ago?
Yes, he did.
He had like a reality show with
it? Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Oh, and is he still doing it?
Not to my knowledge.
It was a one-time thing.
Past his
seemed
prime.
To be easily winded.
Right.
Like if there was a crime going on and the person just ran away, he would just let him. He'd be like, I can't.
Oh.
Shaquille O'Neal's been an honorary police officer.
Oh, has he really?
Can you imagine getting pulled over by Shaquille O'Neal?
Then I would.
It would
definitely...
take him 30 seconds to get out of his squad
right.
car. I think.
Right.
Then I would definitely think I was on some sort of reality show.
Wouldn't
and you
run,
could,
though, that's for sure. I
you could
run
challenge
him.
Shaquille O'Neal to a free throw contest. You go, how about this? I did commit the crime. We each get 10 free throws. If I win, I get to go free. If you win, I go to jail. Because you'd be free.
Absolutely.
That
you couldn't hit
true.
The free throws.
That would be true. I would cry, though, because I do use the woman card. And I'm
what would you
sure
do?
I can speak for a lot of women.
Why would you do it?
Well,
what
I'd cry
do?
If Eric Estrada or Shaquille O'Neal pulled me over. I'd be so happy. But
right.
if it's a regular on any given day, I would try and cry.
Sure. That's
do you do that? Would you do that?
No. You know, one of my best friends told me if you get pulled over that the best thing you want to do, and it has worked for him on several occasions, is explain to the police officer how, you know, you were going a little fast, but how badly you need to use the restroom. He said, because that's the one thing that they go, well, I've been in a similar situation. I go, why don't you just go?
Does it work?
Meaning leave.
Yeah. Did it work for him?
It has worked for him on several occasions. I've never had the wherewithal to do it. I'm always kind of afraid to do that.
You just cry.
Yeah, I just weep like a baby.
Yes. Please, I'm sorry.
I quickly watch. I have a copy of Old Yeller in my car, and I just watch a scene from Old Yeller, and then I start to cry. Or Brian's song.
In between the or Terms of Endearment.
Terms
oh,
of
that's
Endearment.
More of a chick flick.
The Notebook. I look at the cover of The Notebook. I have that in my glove compartment. I look at the cover of The Notebook, and I start to cry.
Get weepy.
Works every time.
I'm picturing an ultimate police duo of Eric Estrada and then Shaq in the sidecar.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Now, that's a show.
Then you got a show.
From the picture that Eric Estrada tweeted, he's going to ride a motorcycle.
Oh, he is, just like in the old days.
Yeah. But now he doesn't have, you know, okay, what's missing in that picture? Chips, Eric Estrada, the motorcycle, what's missing?
It's a very different kind of motorcycle that he rode in Chips. I'm looking at the same picture. Why? See, what else is missing?
The black gloves.
Oh, yeah. He used
had
to have
the
black
gloves, and John had the gold gloves.
Right. And a big honking windshield on the motorcycle, if I'm
right.
Didn't he have a gigantic windshield?
Yeah. And they
like from a truck, but it was on a motorcycle.
And they were so nice back in the day. They'd pull up, please pull over, ma'am.
Right.
You know, it was never rude
right.
or mean.
That's so true. He looks the same.
He looks
I know
good.
25 or 30 years have passed, but he still looks the same, Eric Estrada.
He looks pretty good.
Very good looking. All right, we'll take a quick break. We have a lot more show. If you want to jump in, please do. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leffin. It's Andrea Darlison for Wendy on WGN. All right, it's me, Bill Leff, and it's her, Andrea Darlis. She's filling in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. We're telling you how Eric Estrada, formerly of Chips, just a TV show, is now a full-fledged police officer. If you're in Idaho and you get pulled over by a guy who looks like him, it's him.
It's not
just a guy who looks like him. So this kind of spun off into a conversation about getting out of tickets, and Ann has something that she'd like to share with us. It's most unpleasant. Ann, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I love your show.
Oh, you're nice. Thanks.
I have a girlfriend who has a little bit of a lead foot.
Yeah.
And every single time she gets pulled over, she just tells the police officer that she has IBS.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, God.
And they let her off.
Do they? It works.
She doesn't have it.
That's really gross, but that's really smart.
My friend is, and he admits to this, he's 4 out of 5. He has been pulled over 5 different times for speeding or different altercation. And he always says the same thing. I know I was going a little bit fast, but you have to understand, I have to go to the bathroom so bad. I'm an adult. I feel so guilty. I feel so awful about this. And 4 out of the 5 times, they've gone, yeah, hey, we've been there. We get it.
Just go.
On your way.
I bet you she's 10 out of 10.
Wow.
And I think that it just grosses the police officer out enough right. that they just are like, okay, ma'am.
Right.
Well, on your way.
You don't want to be the one who it takes that extra moment and things go horribly awry. So you just, you know, you play the cards, you go, you're out.
I don't want to chance it. Yeah.
No.
Kidding.
Wow. Well, Ann, thank you so much.
It's going to be hazmat.
Level 1.
Thanks,
right,
Ann.
Have
level
a great 2. Day. Thanks,
Ann.
Level 2.
Level 2 hazmat.
Oh, no. Let's get Randy in on this. Hey, Randy, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. What did you want to say about this?
Well, I'm retired law enforcement from way out in the northwest suburbs, and
yeah.
you know, I truly admire what these celebrity guys come out and do. You know, as we've all seen in the last several months, the job isn't you know a game. You know, it's a real game.
Being a police officer, absolutely,
very tough.
Yeah, you know, and all the stories, you know, we all laugh at it. We've all heard, you know, like 30 years I did the job, we've heard every story there is to hear. You know,
mm-hmm.
but. There's just so many young guys today that have the college degrees and really want to get into the job, and I really would like to see those agencies focus on hiring good, qualified candidates that they're going to get their money's worth out of, and the taxpayers are too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I was wondering, though, Randy, as I'm reading this story. Eric Estrada is probably around 60. He might be a little bit older than that. He's between 60 and 65 years old. Is that even possible if he wasn't a TV star at some point? Could a 60-year-old guy go into you could still do that? You could start out as a police officer at that age?
No. In the state of Illinois, we're a little bit goofy, unrealized to most people that in the state of Illinois, unless you're a municipality the size of Chicago, you cannot test for the job unless you're younger than 35 years of age. So 21, which is way too young to give a guy a handgun and the authority to take a human life, up to maximum 35.
Yeah.
So if you're 36 years old, you can't even take 99% of the municipal tests.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole hiring thing that, you know, people don't get. There's a complicated mess to hiring.
I would imagine,
and,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, he can't do the job at 60.
He's 67.
You know, 67.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have to be. And he did, by the way, the boring story that I'll ask now, I noticed, but he wrote a Kawasaki KZ900.
That's impressive. Cool. Well done. Nicely done, Randy. So this is a fairy tale. They fast-tracked him because he was a TV star, but if your average 67-year-old guy decided later in life, I think I'd like to be a police officer, the chances of that are pretty slim.
Yeah. I mean, imagine a 67-year-old guy. I mean, I came from a town where we were loaded with bars and beer gardens. imagine a 67-year-old guy in a street tussle with, you know, 30-year-old drunk guys.
Yeah, it might not end well.
It doesn't end well, right?
No, of course.
Well, that's all I wanted. I love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Randy. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Randy.
You too.
Take care. Bye.
I still think that's cool, though, that he's doing something. You know, it's kind of like art imitating life. Or
right.
Life imitating art, I guess, right. In this situation.
But, here's the big but in this. Are you ready for the big but in this?
I'm ready for the
big but is this. Will this lead other TV stars of days gone by to then follow whatever profession they had on TV? Will Bob Newhart open up a psychiatrist's office, psychologist's
right,
office?
Right, and will Jodie Foster become an FBI agent
right.
and chase cannibals?
Right.
Yeah.
This remains to be seen. But everybody else I'm thinking about, I was just going to say, is Fred Gwynne really going to be
Frankenstein?
But he's,
I don't
but
think
he's
anymore.
No longer with
yeah.
us, so that stopped. And The Odd Couple I can't even do either. All my favorites from the old days are gone. Come
Gilligan,
on, you guys.
Wait, come on.
I know, every one of them. All right, we'll take a quick break. Later on in this hour, Patrick McDonald will be with us, fine film critic. We'll talk about what movies are coming out, and I want to talk to him about what happened with this movie BFG. There was such high expectations for this childhood favorite BFG. The book, I don't know if you ever read the book, but the book is magnificent, and for years people have been saying, boy, when this becomes a movie, it's going to be huge, and it came out last week and just tanked. Nobody went to see it, and I can't figure out why. So we'll get that story from Patrick McDonald in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and it's Andrea Darlis in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Patrick McDonald isn't only in studio, but he's strumming along to the music.
Yeah.
Patrick is a film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's the chief guide for the Chicago Film Tour. You want to go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for all your information or dial him up at 312-593-4455. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Great to see you.
Don't forget lead singer of the Telepaths.
Lead singer of the Telepaths also, by the way. But if people also share that telepathy, they'll already know that.
That's
so
right.
I don't even have to tell them.
Absolutely.
A couple of stories about movies before we get to what films are coming out this weekend.
Yes.
Story number one. Last week, a movie opened up called The BFG. It's a childhood classic. My daughters loved it. I loved reading it to them when they were kids. It's directed by Steven Spielberg, one of the most goof-proof directors in all of Hollywood. Somehow, no one's going to see this movie. It's tanking at the box office. What's gone wrong?
Boy, you know, I don't know. I gave it 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was a very sweet story, which I was not familiar with at all.
Mm-hmm.
I love Roald Dahl. And I could see elements of his, you know, his mindset in
the
movie.
He's the one that did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
He did James and the Giant Peach.
Yes.
He's a great author.
He is. And also, it just, I would say, because I think if you look at the promotional material for it, I kind of got a vibe like it was like something old-fashioned.
Yeah.
That's all I can
You couldn't figure out exactly what the storyline was,
but that's
still okay.
Yeah, I think it's very okay. It takes a little while to get going, but once it gets going, I think it's you know, really good for families. I can't figure it out. Who makes the decisions to go to a movie in the household, you know? And when you have a lot of competition, Secret Life of Pets coming out, well, maybe we won't go to BFG this week. We'll wait for Secret Life of Pets, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how that goes, Bill. You can
but
explain
here's,
that.
Maybe because it looked a little creepy. I mean,
oh, it is a little creepy.
Yeah, the images.
The story's
and the
Roald dark.
Dahl,
Roald Dahl makes a dark story.
Exactly, but it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe it didn't take as well from the book to the big screen.
Here's the strange thing, though. When our daughters were little, if there was a movie out that we knew that they could see,
right.
we went. And
sure.
sometimes it was great and sometimes it was terrible, but we were just so anxious to go see a movie with them.
Right.
And this fit every bill that we would want. You know, it's a great fantasy story. It's Steven Spielberg. I'm just shocked that this movie did so poorly.
Did you see it?
I've not seen
okay.
it.
And I know you're anxious to.
I am very anxious to see it. I want to see it very badly.
But I, you know, again, I had no familiarity with the story, but it had such elements of beauty in it that it was stunning. And boy, he spared no expense, and it's Spielberg, so he's going to go all out for this.
Yeah.
But it did remind me a bit of like Tom Thumb. Remember the giant pictures of our youth? You know,
sure.
it reminded me a bit of that. Again, I don't know if that's off-putting or not. I don't know. It's a mystery.
I know that kids could be scared by it, but I also know that kids have a very high tolerance. Some kids have a very high tolerance. For other kids,
if something's going to scare you during a movie, what can you do about it? But when I was a kid, I wanted to be challenged by a movie, didn't you?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. It just seems like, again, when I was a kid, and this is going a little farther back, it just, the movies were a mystery, you know?
Yeah.
And I think so many kids now are introduced to the movies at earlier and earlier ages. You know, we see 2-year-olds in front of screens now watching stuff, and I don't know if that makes a difference for what you choose going forward, but maybe you know your your kids' cultural style by the time they're like
what
five.
They can handle,
what
they
can handle, yeah.
Do you think it's different now, you guys, because movies are so accessible? You know, anywhere you go, you see a mom and giving a kid an iPad,
right.
Or they can watch it on their phone and then hit pause, run around, do what they want, and then come back to it. Does that make it a little different, you think?
I would think so. I think, again... When parents can gauge what the kids' favorites are, then they can gauge what they think they should be seeing in the movie theater.
Yeah.
So,
is there stuff in this movie, you've seen it, and
yes.
I have not, is there some things where your average 5, 6, 7-year-old just couldn't handle it?
I don't think so. The evil monster, the evil giants are, you know, off-putting by design, but I think that was taken straight out of the doll book.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just... Not having kids, I can't gauge.
Now, there's a tie-in with this story to the next story, and I'll explain what that tie is in just a little bit.
Okay.
A movie director died over the weekend, and his name will be familiar to some and very foreign to others. His name is Michael Cimino.
Correct.
The movie that he made that was a landmark film is The Deer Hunter. It was Meryl Streep's first movie.
Right.
Robert De Niro's in it. Christopher Walken's in it. It's a fantastic movie. It's an absolute masterpiece, The Deer Hunter. I think it was nominated for 7 or 8 Academy Awards. It won a bunch. Michael Cimino, became one of the top directors in Hollywood, and he was given a movie called Heaven's Gate that is considered to be one of the worst movies of all time. I don't remember a time where one movie absolutely sank a guy's career the way this did. It took down a movie studio. It took down his career. What do you make of a story like that of Michael Cimino?
I make of it that it was a different era in filmmaking. When you talk about The Deer Hunter, you're talking about the domestic side of the Vietnam War and how it affected the working class men who went and fought that war.
And made when they weren't making Vietnam movies.
It
was one of the first movies to come out about Vietnam.
Right. And also then you had the 1-2 punch of that in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And suddenly you had the artistic interpretation of the Vietnam War. The Heaven's Gate debacle is more legendary, I believe, for what it did, as you said, to the studio and to Cimino's career than what it is as a movie. I think people you can now go out and get the various versions of it. This is what I don't like. It's been tinkered with ever since, and I think there are 3 or 4 versions of it. But Jeff Bridges, who was in the film, and who was in Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, which was
one of his other movies.
Yeah, one of his other films. He came out and said that Heaven's Gate is a masterpiece. Please give it a consideration. It's not what you think it is. It just was a victim of timing, I believe.
Right.
I mean, a couple of years later, Warren Beatty put out the movie about the Russian Revolution, and people went to that.
Reds.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult movie, a concept that had some difficulty to understand, but people... Was it the filmmaking? Was it the tinkering? Was it the timing? We don't know, and that's pretty much a Hollywood legend.
Why would Hollywood be so unforgiving for a movie, say, like Heaven's Gate, and there's been so many other flops and so many, well, even BFG,
like
a Jodie Foster film. She's a great actress, but has had a couple flops as a director.
It's timing and what the studio puts into it, you know. So many studios have had their backs to the wall at a certain point, like 20th Century Fox with Cleopatra, and in this case, the Cimino film. And if it brings you down, they're never going to forgive.
Right.
They're just never going to forgive.
Well, that's the tie-in I wanted to make to the first story, is that Steven Spielberg is one of our most beloved, cherished filmmakers.
Right.
So when he makes a movie like BFG that doesn't do well at the box office, he's not going to have a hard time getting another job. But with Michael Cimino, it was quite a while before he worked again, and he never reached the level he was at prior to this.
Well, I mean, as a creative person, we all can understand how a little slight can destroy us.
Sure.
We're delicate. Creative people are delicate creatures, and if they get, and when commerce gets involved and can crush all kinds of creativity. I think that's a lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice.
I am a little delicate. I'm not going to lie to you.
Delicate.
We're all very delicate. We had to build a case around Patrick the last time he was here.
You guys are delicate,
though,
in a very strong, sexy
way. You're very kind. All right, we'll come back and we'll find out what movies are coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Andrea Darlison for Wendy Snyder, along with Patrick McDonald on WGN. Patrick McDonald is here. We're talking about films with Patrick McDonald. He has a great website. It's called HollywoodChicago.com. And then he's also the chief guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com. 312-593-4455 if you want to see an amazing tour of all the various sites that they've used to shoot some of your favorite films here in and around the city.
Excellent.
That's where you want to go.
Both Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. This happens to be, I'm looking at this list that you put out, Patrick,
yep.
And I'm shocked. 2016 is quite a year for anniversaries.
I think so.
50th anniversaries of things, 40th anniversaries, 25th anniversaries of things. Some prominent names on here. Just go over a couple of them because it just shows how quickly time passes.
Yeah, I would say for me personally, the Batman TV show
is now 50 years old Batman.
The Star Trek TV show. The Beatles' last concert, August 22nd, 1966, San Francisco. The Monkees celebrating their 50th. And then the 40th anniversary, amazing, All the President's Men, Rocky, Charlie's Angels, and the famous Network, of course.
What a year that was for movies.
Prescient
for TV.
Films ever made, you know. It was Peter Finch that beat out Sylvester Stallone for Rocky, for Network.
And he had already died,
yes,
right?
Yes, he died a month before. Faye Dunaway, look up that picture of Faye Dunaway because she won Best Actress. She's sitting at the pool the next morning with her Oscar by her with all these newspapers talking about Oscar for Finch posthumously.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Great. You know what it is also? This is not on your list, but it's also the 40th anniversary of Roots. Did you know that?
Yes. Well, wasn't that 77, though?
Was it 77?
I believe 76. So.
Okay. So next year will be.
Yes. Yes, but they just had that new version of Roots come out, too. So, and Nirvana's Nevermind, 25 years ago. How about that?
Gosh.
How could that be 25 years ago?
I don't know. I don't know. And it was such an influential album. I think that was one of the last albums that was really everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, permeated everything.
Yeah, right.
You know, all genres, all folks, you know.
And really gave way to the grunge music movement. If you could ever find an album that just kind of opened the doors and made something more accessible and mainstream, I think that's your album right there.
There you go.
All right. So, wow. It really is a strange year in terms of anniversaries. All right. Let's talk about some of the movies that are coming out this week. First of all, we were just talking about kid films.
Right.
I guess this fits that same kind of genre, that Secret Life of Pets.
Yes, done by the creators of The Minions and Despicable Me. Now, here's the thing.
You're not going to like this. I can already tell. Can you tell?
I can.
There's this in your voice. Yeah.
Three out of five. Now, I just think these are becoming cynical exercises. I mean, it's set in New York City.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Louis C.K., Eric Stone Street, Kevin Hart, Jenny Slate, Albert Brooks, Lake Bell, Dana Carvey, et cetera.
Quite a list.
So it's just, you know, it's getting the right voices together, getting the right story. It's like packages, you know, they're packaging these animated films. They're not putting a lot of creativity in it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that really bothered me was they stole the Nobody's Perfect line from Some Like It Hot. In context, too. And I'm thinking
that's
to myself,
the last line of Some Like It Hot.
Yes.
So now it's in this movie.
And
now it's
going,
in this perpy in the same context. And they're like, you know, I'm like, would a kid get that?
No.
But it's just a complete steal from Billy Wilder.
But
which,
if you're making a movie like this, aren't you trying your best? And I'm not trying to defend it. I haven't seen the movie. But aren't you trying your best to play to two audiences? You're playing to the kids who want to see the animation, but you know their parents are sitting there with them, so you want to throw something their way. So maybe that joke, that line is something for the parents.
Sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
Right.
And also, you know, when you assess these films, you do kind of look at them on two levels. Obviously, I'm an adult, so I'm looking at it at another level.
Not so
level.
Sure of that, Patrick.
Well, you know,
ahead.
I still have a mind of a kid.
All right.
I think the BFG and the Secret Lives of Pets are both more kid-centric than that dual-layer, adult-kid sensibility. Like Finding Dory, adults, kids, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Finding Dory is adults and kids.
Something
for sure.
Everybody there.
Because thematically, it works both ways.
I still have to see Nemo.
Oh, you didn't see the first one
never
yet?
Never saw Nemo.
Oh, you
got to
see the first one.
Well, rent that.
Okay,
and then,
yeah.
See,
and then
Dory.
See Dory.
Yep. How about this? You mentioned a long list of people who play characters in this movie, The Secret Life of Pets.
Right.
One of them is Albert Brooks. So Albert Brooks' last two movie performances are Finding Dory and this.
Yes.
Two kind of animated films. I love him. I've always loved him.
Yeah.
Is he going to do regular feature-length films anymore, or just this sort of thing?
I don't know. He just released all his films on Netflix. Big video.
Broadcast News 2.0.
So good.
And he tries to distinguish his voice in this one, so it's not like his normal voice in Finding Dory.
Oh, really?
So he's sort of playing a more kvetchy, I think.
Sometimes.
If I may use that.
Oh, of course. He'll show up. Did you ever see the movie Drive?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So he's a villain in that movie,
yes.
Drive, and you say to yourself, Albert Brooks can't play a villain. That's just one of the funniest, nicest guys in the world. But boy, when he plays a bad guy, he plays a bad guy.
He killed it. And did he get the nomination? I'm not sure. He was up for the nomination, but I don't know if he had an Academy Award nomination
for that.
But the what I'm recommending this weekend is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. It is hilarious.
I really want to see that.
I love Anna Kendrick,
and I love Adam Devine.
Yeah, yeah. This is like Zac Efron, Adam Devine, Anna Kendrick, and Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation.
It's kind of like Hangover / Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, I would say Hangover meets Bridesmaids.
Okay.
You know, it's the funniest movie since Bridesmaids about weddings. Oh. I mean, it is perfect.
Yeah.
Because basically it's about two doofuses whose dad comes in and says, you're not ruining another family event. And of course, you know, that's
going to happen. Right.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
And Stephen Root plays the dad, and I love Stephen Root,
from
the
News
voice
Radio?
Of Bill Daughtry, and he's sort of in the club of Mike Judge. He always does the Mike Judge stuff because he's in King of the Hill.
And, yeah.
You know, he's just a character guy, but he plays the dad and does dad stuff in it that is so good that it will remind you of your 20s. Or at least it reminded me of my 20s and my relationship with my parents back then.
Oh, so good. So this is
hilarious.
Worth saying.
4.5 out of 5.
Oh, good.
A little sexist, but
is it?
You know, yeah, a little.
And I didn't get past that.
Yeah?
Anna Kendrick can get past it.
Yes.
We can.
Well, the girls are bad. Bad girls. bad asses. Can I say that?
No, you can't say that.
Okay.
Don't say that. Nope. Adam Devine is the kid from Modern Family, right?
He's the Manny.
Yes,
oh, I like
him. So amazing
he's
in this. Funny. I got to interview him. He's hilarious.
Is he really?
Another hilarious. A guy from Omaha whose family is in the railroad business. So he said, got my overalls, got my lantern. If it never works out, I'm just going back to the rails.
Got a job.
Get the rails.
All right. And now this is kind of selfish, and the movie doesn't open yet. But Andrea is curious. Next week,
Ghostbusters.
The new version of Ghostbusters comes out. I know you haven't seen it yet. You're going to New York to see it. But what are you hearing about the new version of Ghostbusters? Are you hearing good things about it?
Well, here's the only two words I have to say about the new Ghostbusters. Paul Feige.
He's the director.
He's the director. He's the guy who did Bridesmaids, for example. Hilarious movie. Spy last year. Hilarious movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters is going to be funny. Now, whether you accept the all-female cast, that's your problem. You know, a lot of backlash on the internets about the all-female cast.
Yeah.
But, I have those two words, and I say I'm looking forward to it because of that.
Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy.
On.
You can't. I don't think
Leslie Jones.
Go wrong,
come
right?
on. There are
like them,
very four very funny people.
Now, is this... Help me with this because I don't know the answer. Is this a remake of the first one? Are they the daughters of the first Ghostbusters?
No.
Do we know any of that?
We don't know. That will be the surprise when we see it.
Yeah.
I would probably call it a reboot because that's what he likes to call it,
right.
I think, when I interviewed him a couple years ago. So.
And you know what they did, which was very smart? They've got this guy, Hemsworth. He plays a guy. Now, Hemsworth, is it Chris Hemsworth who's in this?
Yes, Thor.
He looks just like Kevin, our producer, and his name in this is Kevin, so they're obviously tapping in on Kevin's success.
His zeitgeist is over all of show business.
Yes.
Yes.
Zeitgeist Busters. That's what it should have been called.
There's
Patrick.
No truth to the rumor that Hillary and Trump make an appearance in Ghostbusters.
They're not in this?
Any sort of a...
They're not in this for sure. I wonder.
Too bad. Then the Republicans could have more hearings.
Right. So. Absolutely. Patrick, great to see you. Again, a couple of different websites for you. HollywoodChicago.com is his film criticism website. He'll tell you what to see and what not to see. And then also ChicagoFilmTour.com. There are tours on Saturdays and Sundays, and they're always entertaining. 312-593-4455.
One more thing. Happy Please. Birthday, Mom, Joanne Schultes McDonald of Weirton, West Virginia. On the big WGN. Thank you.
Beautiful. You don't have to get her a card now. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Andrea Darlison for Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks very, very much. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff, here for the second half of the Thursday show. You know the rules. People come in, people go out. We're always looking for a new co-host. Wendy's on vacation. So we gave the wheel a big spin, and the name that came up was that of Anna Balaval.
Which is really tough for you because you can't pronounce it.
You know what? I don't know if you're aware of this. Mm-hmm. I always call you by the name that you were given, and that is Anna Balaval. But Wendy, who's not here to defend herself, calls you like bleh, 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 or
something
like that. Yeah, she says it all weird like that, but it is Anna Balaval, and you are from Scotland.
Yeah, indeed. I just worked really hard on my accent.
Right.
I want it to sound Spanish.
Right.
Puerto Rican.
I think it's better for everybody.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
I mean, they love us in this country. That's the accent you guys love. So I went for that.
That's
Why
true.
Scottish or British?
No, I don't know.
That's who
crazy.
Thinks they're smart, right?
For people who don't know Anna's work, you can see her on the WGN TV Morning News. Mm-hmm. And I say this anytime anybody from that show is on with me, and I don't say it because you're here. I say this because I mean it. I don't know how it's possible to do a better morning news show than you guys do at Channel 9. It's perfect in every way.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Yeah. They assembled the greatest cast of characters. Everybody on the show is so good at not just delivering the news, but when it's time to just be themselves and be funny, you guys all mastered it. And Jeff Hoover's the best producer TV's ever had in Chicago, so keep up the great work.
I beg to differ. Mine is Tom Barnes and Terry Barthel, but you know,
also great
those
producers.
Are mine.
Also great producers. How did you get to where you are? What led to you being a personality here in Chicago television? How'd you do that?
So I always wanted to be a TV reporter.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be Christian Amanpour.
Yeah? Did you,
I have
did
the,
you
accent.
Want to be, you do the accent. Did you want to be a little more serious?
Oh, yeah. I was going to go cover conflicts. And then I went to college. I started interning first in Puerto Rico when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And the station I interned with had a connection with Univision, mm-hmm. the Spanish network. And I interned when I went to college for broadcast journalism. And I interned there my entire college career. When I graduated and went home, tried to get a job with my local station.
Yeah.
It was very hard. They had a union. I would be at the bottom of the pile to be a reporter, and I immediately wanted to be a reporter. I didn't want to be behind the scenes. So I called my mentor in Washington, D.C., and I said, where is Univision looking for a local reporter?
Yeah.
And she said, Chicago. I had no family here, which is shocking because Puerto Ricans are everywhere. I even had a cousin in Melbourne, Australia.
You did.
So imagine, yeah. And so we didn't know anybody here, but I came. My dad said, just come for the interview.
Yeah.
And then consequently, and therefore, because my father speaks like MBA English, just go for the interview. And I came for the interview and they offered me the job.
Wow.
Mostly because I had papers.
Oh, well, that's something good.
I'm Puerto Rican. I'm a U.S. citizen.
Right.
The girl before lied about her status. And I'm not kidding. And they saw my video and I had some professional looking stories that I had done for Univision as a senior in college. And so I started here in 1996, 20 years ago.
So you're fresh out of college at this point.
Fresh out of college. My dad said, you're not leaving Puerto Rico unless they pay you this amount of money. And
yeah.
I called him back and I said, they offered that and they have insurance. He was so mad.
Wow.
And I moved here knowing nobody. And I moved here 20 years ago to be a general assignment reporter for WGBO.
Mm-hmm.
Then I became a weekend anchor. And then their morning show, their network morning show, hired me as a freelance reporter to do features.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a niche in that. I was really good at it.
You're very good at it.
And thank you. And
you
at
are.
Improvising and getting the best out of people and listening. And so I worked for them here for a little bit. Then I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
The show's name was Despierta America, which is Good Morning America.
Spirit of America?
Wake Up America.
Wake Despierta. Up America.
You don't even have high school Spanish.
I barely speak English.
It's okay. Yeah.
That's all right.
Neither do I. So I worked for them for 3 years in New York City, and I just wanted to, like Ricky Martin, do the crossover. And
were you using Ricky as a template at that
totally,
point?
Totally, we
you?
All do.
Sure.
If you are Puerto Rican and you do good, you are our saint.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I really wanted to do the crossover, and I had an agent who said, you know, there are many Hispanics that speak English without an accent.
Right.
So don't even try it. But I took accent reduction classes in Chicago, in New York, from a teacher from Long Island. I don't know if I chose right. and so that same agent saw me at some event and said, wow, you're really popular. Maybe I should assign you to another agent. And
yeah.
This agent took me under his wing and sent my Spanish demo tape to the Chicago, to WGN Morning News. They were looking for an around town reporter. And
yeah.
I had told them I want Chicago, New York, Miami.
Were they looking for somebody ethnic, or was it just any, but we just want somebody who's good and that's all
yeah.
we want?
And the news director didn't even speak Spanish.
Oh, wow.
But he saw it and he showed it to a few people and they're like, we like just whatever she's saying. It's just really captivating.
We don't understand it, but we know we like it.
He asked if I spoke English. And so I came and interviewed and got
would
the job.
Would you have gotten the job if you spoke no English? Probably not.
No, maybe in 2016, but not back then. I've been there for 11 years this month.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. When you take these classes, accent reduction classes, who's in there mostly? It can't all be people that want to break into show business.
A lot of New Yorkers who have to give presentations at work and have a thick New York accent
yeah.
or a thick Boston accent.
Yeah.
I notice a lot of that. Heidi Klum went to the same place I did.
Oh, she did. She had a German accent,
they
obviously.
They work with a lot of actors.
Yeah.
The gentleman's name who owned the agency was Sam Chuat, who has passed away.
Yeah.
And he was Heidi Klum's accent reduction professor, but he also trained a few major names for accents, you know, for roles.
So even if people had, like, here's an example. I don't know if people know this, but Jerry Seinfeld, in the early days of Jerry Seinfeld, had a very, very thick New York accent. You wouldn't know it from watching him today or his television show, because he seems like kind of middle America. There's a slight accent mm-hmm. there. But in the early days of Jerry Seinfeld, it was a very, very thick New York accent. So a guy like that might go in and take these similar classes.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So after
they
a while...
They didn't work for me.
They didn't... But here's just my opinion. I think mm-hmm. it's better for you that they didn't. Don't you think that?
Well, when I was hired here, I told Robin and Larry, I said, you know, I'm really worried about my accent. And Robin said, why? You know, I'm from the South Side. I
yeah.
sound like a Southsider. Larry sounds like he's from Boston once in a while. So, no, that makes you.
Right.
And even my coach said, now let it go. Now, everything I've taught you is in the back of your head.
Right.
I'm sure you can access it. But they're hiring you for you.
Yes.
So
that's true, isn't it?
So it's been pretty cool. I think my station has shielded me from the calls of, she can't speak English, you should have hired an American and all that
stuff.
Don't
worry.
Which I'm sure are there.
Ah.
But they've been so kind to GN.
Yeah,
you know?
I can imagine.
And so, yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
And you must feel, like I said earlier, there's other shows that do morning news and they're fine, but you guys have figured out a way to make it not just educational. You know, it's called the news for a reason. You want to know what's going on in the world. But you guys also make it so entertaining. You must have a very proud feeling doing
yes.
that every day.
Yeah. Well, I'm very proud that we have such a large following
yeah.
and that we can be ourselves. And we all have really good chemistry.
Yeah.
We all get along really well. We don't hang out off hours because we all have lives
right.
away from work. But yeah, we have really... We just created something and our bosses have allowed us to go with it.
Yeah.
And we have learned to just do it and then ask for forgiveness later.
That's the way to play it.
Yeah. And,
that's it.
You know, I just think it's really cool how we've embraced the way that we all are and how
mm-hmm.
we broadcast. That doesn't mean that when there's a breaking story, we don't take it seriously.
Sure.
And that I can't, you know, I've covered serious news too.
Right.
But, you know, I think we found something that people really still enjoy on TV, which is for many people a dying field, you know?
Well, a true testament to you guys is if you look at the television ratings in the morning, Good Morning America and the Today Show are established dinosaurs of the industry that have been network shows for years and years and years. And you guys not only compete with them, but oftentimes beat them in the ratings.
Yes. Yeah. It's
that's,
really cool.
That's unheard of.
It's very unheard of. And it's a very difficult place to leave.
Yeah.
You know, the next offer that will happen has to blow you away.
Sure.
And I think it's the same situation for all of us, for Larry, Robin, Paul. Watch, somebody's leaving for ABC tomorrow or whatever. But, you know, I think we have it so good with the product we put out.
Yeah.
You know, that...
It spoils you almost.
It spoils you. And the next gig that shows up, you're like, yeah, but I'm in the number one morning show. And
right.
I don't have to worry about it. And I do different things.
Right.
And the versatility is great. And
right.
the hours are good. You don't sleep much, but you adjust.
You know, I'm sure you know this. Dean Richards gets offers from rodeos all over the country to come out and be a rodeo clown. And he, you know, he weighs the offers. And why wouldn't you? But in the end, when you find something great like you guys have found, you don't want to tamper with
it. I know. And I know because when I've covered rodeos.
So you know.
They've asked me.
You know.
What do we need to do to bring him back?
We want more Dean.
Yeah. Swifty. Swifty the clown.
They call him Swifty the clown.
Yeah.
That's his rodeo
He's
name.
Also my agent.
Anna Balavala's here if
oh
you want to jump
oh,
in. That's the way it should be said.
2 hours of this.
Wendy says it wrong, but that's the way you're supposed to say it. Anna Balavala's here. If you want to give us a call, if you have a question or a comment, you know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. We'll get to those next. Stick around. Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. You have to watch it.
I'm on it.
Anna's on it. Why would you? I don't know why they make channel changers. Just put it on Channel 9 and keep it there.
Yeah.
Just keep it there. Are you willing to accept a compliment or two? Because people who want to say nice things about
only.
You on the phone will only say nice things. We will accept no phone call with any criticism, folks. We're at 312-981-7200 if you have something pleasant to say. Joan, you're on with Anna Balavala.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Anna. Hi, Bill. I happened to be just sort of channel surfing this morning. I caught that telenovela. I thought I would die laughing. That was the funniest thing I've seen. And then Chewy Garcia shows up. I didn't even know you guys were doing those. Is that
yeah.
you've done more
before we've done
this?
Three more. This is our fourth
Noticias we're talking about.
Noticias del Noticias. Corazón. It is.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Oh,
Noticias.
Noticias del Corazón. And it is Dan Ponce's brainchild.
They're so funny.
Lourdes and I help him translate it. And
yeah.
then Chewy Garcia.
He shows up in a cameo.
Which was, I mean, Joan is still laughing.
Wow.
I never expected
funny.
To see him. You three, yeah, I thought that was hysterical. And then you go up to his office.
And you've seen these before, Joan, right? This
no,
wasn't
she
a,
hasn't.
You've
no,
never
no,
seen
no.
any? Oh, they're
I
so
just
funny.
I stumbled on it. I'm going to have to look on YouTube or
yep.
something or on WGN TV and see the others, but I just wanted to tell you, you had me rolling this
How about
morning.
That?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Joan, thanks so much.
Okay.
You've seen
Take
those,
care.
Though? You've seen those?
I've seen the first two. I did not see today's. And for people who aren't aware of what they are, is it's sort of a parody of your Spanish soap operas.
Right, telenovelas.
Boy, are they funny. They're
yeah,
really
and it's
funny.
All like the newsroom telenovela.
Yep. But the music is perfect.
Yeah.
The looks that you get, that everybody gives are just so reminiscent of the Spanish soap operas. I love it. I think it's so funny. All right. More kind words coming your way. Everybody's heeding your warning. If they're going to say something negative, they're not doing it by way of phone, although a lot of negative texts.
Okay. Then
hundreds
don't,
of
please,
negative texts.
Because I'm very thin-skinned.
No, I won't do it to you. Sandy's on the line. Hi, Sandy. Go ahead. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you, Bill?
Excellent. Thank
Hi,
you.
Sandy.
I have to tell you, though, I didn't call to talk to you. I really called to talk to Anna.
Go ahead, please.
I was really excited that she was on today. First of all, I have to tell you, she's just remarkable. I had a friend of mine stop in Homewood to get me an autograph from her, Aww. And she was so cordial to do so.
Thank
and so I have a picture of her up on my wall because I think you're hysterical, Anna.
Thank
they should
you.
Do more episodes of you.
Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate it. A full show would be nice.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, I think you should take over Channel 9. We're going to push Robin out of the way and just put you
no,
right
No, no, no. There's space for all of us. We are now okay. an independent okay. channel, so maybe.
Right, there's plenty of room for everybody.
Plenty of room for all
oh,
of us.
Oh,
Sandy, thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You
thank
too.
You, Sandy. And I guess we can make a special announcement, too. We've got this revolving host thing going while Wendy's gone. But you're not only here now, but you will also be in again tomorrow afternoon,
yes.
right? 1 to 3
mm-hmm.
again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Leo would like to say some nice things to you. Leo, hi, how are you?
I am. Bill, Anna, a
yeah.
real pleasure to talk with you. About 2-3 months ago, you were you had a thing out in the morning about a play up on the north side called Fleetwood Macbeth.
Uh-huh.
And it really intrigued me. I called up, I ordered 2 tickets. My lady friend and I went out there on Saturday night. had a wonderful time.
Oh, good.
Met the mother of the guy who wrote it.
Mm-hmm. They're a really fun group.
This was a show called, what is it called?
Fleetwood Macbeth. So this theater company,
yeah.
The name escapes me now. I'm horrible with names. They right. use the storefront theater on Clark Street. Right, Leo, do you remember the name of the theater?
Don't remember, but it was right across the street from the cemetery.
From the cemetery. It's close to Wrigley.
Yeah.
And they do these parodies. We've covered about two or three of them. And they used the Fleetwood Mac music to Macbeth.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it was all in a DJ at a radio station, like 1970s, like that WKRP season
sure.
and everything. It was hilarious.
Public House Theater, Kevin.
Public House. Kevin Thank
is,
you, Kevin.
Has found it online.
I'm so sorry, because I've been
That's
with
right.
them so often.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that I love to cover. I love to cover storefront theaters in Chicago.
Sure.
I've been lucky to meet a lot of top-notch actors in Chicago and in New York.
Yeah.
And they say that Chicago is the best place to
Easily.
Come to regional theater.
Absolutely.
Because those little storefronts, like Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind,
yeah.
which is not that little anymore.
Those are the neo-futurists.
The neo-futurists.
Yeah.
All those small theaters where these kids have made it happen, they end up being the headliners later.
Yep.
And so I'm glad that Leo enjoyed it. He took a while to say it, and I was like, oh my God, what did I do?
What if he hated it? No, he loved it. You loved it, right, Leo?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Beautiful. Well, that's excellent.
And I really love the segments that you have on Channel 9. And I don't catch it every day because of my schedule. But the days that I do, you're only on for maybe 5 minutes at a time. I'd like to see for about 10, 15 minutes of the shot.
People want to see you more, Anna.
Sandy Pudar, Jen Lyons.
Yes.
On the line, please.
We'll get something done. We'll get it done. Leo, thanks for your phone call. We appreciate it.
And my dad hasn't called. You just wait.
Not yet. Leo, take care. Let me get one or two more in really quickly. They are incredible.
An Anna Fest.
That's exactly what we're going to call this, is an Anna Fest. It's like Lobster Fest over at Red Lobster.
Which
without
my
the
mother always
biscuits.
Wanted to go to, and we never took her.
You never took her to the Lobster Fest?
Well, she's still alive. I have time.
I got a little, it was a little awkward. Kathy, hi, you're on with me, Bill, and of course, Anna Balaval. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent, what's up?
Well, I'm excited to be part of Anna Fest.
Yes,
thank you,
everybody
Kathy.
Is.
Oh, yes. I just want to tell you the specific reason why I tune into you guys versus Good Morning America or the Today Show. Those two other shows have become so formulaic and they're so predictable. When I see the latest stupid thing that Hillary did or Donald said, like, I can tell you how they're going to present that information. You guys, unpredictable. You guys are the real deal for Chicago. I'm a teacher. And at lunch, I sit in the lunchroom with a bunch of teachers. We kill ourselves laughing, talking about your telenovelas. But you guys also do a great job presenting the story. When someone acts out and they really look ridiculous, you call them out on it. Doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. And I think people in the United States today are like, that's what we want. Like, we want people to present the real story. We'll decide for ourselves who the doofus is. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
We sit in the lunchroom and we laugh so hard, and we're all, one of the teachers that I work with had originally told me about you, and I'm every day, you're the only station I'll tune into now.
Thank you. I love to
That's
hear
so
that.
That's so nice.
My
thanks.
My babies can eat.
Right. Kathy, thank you. Those are very kind words.
Sure.
Take care. It's unanimous. People seem to like you and they like the job you're doing. So what's wrong with that?
Well, no, that's great. That's great. And today's my dad's 78th birthday, so he'll be
what's
happy.
What's his
I'm
name? What's your dad's name?
Mario.
Mario, happy birthday to you, sir.
No, he can't hear you. He's in Puerto
that's
Rico.
All right. That's
But, I thought.
My voice doesn't carry that far.
I can send him the podcast.
Yeah, he'll know.
And he'll be like, what do I press here? Esta cosa. It doesn't work. And then it's just awful.
It gets lost. That's all right.
Yeah, when it crosses the Atlantic.
So what is the birthday celebration for your dad today? Do you know where he's heading? 78's a big one.
I think he was in a meeting of some kind.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, my dad still works. My mom doesn't want him in the house. he retired around 58, and my mom said, you're too young.
So you got to go get back out there.
So you got to go get some consulting or whatever, and so he's either doing that or fixing the car, not himself taking it to. So
right.
He buys these lemons.
That's still,
they always
just to be active. That's
yeah,
the key.
He is very active.
Good.
They both work out. They are both, knock on wood, healthy.
That's excellent. That's what you want.
I keep them young.
I think you do. I think you keep them young. We will take a quick break. Ryan has the news for you, and then a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill Leffen, Anna Balaval, filling in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ryan, listen to this. You know, we've got Anna Balaval in from the WGN TV Morning News, where she plays the role of Anna Balaval.
Okay.
And that's myself. Hi, Ryan.
You play yourself in this on the show. And you're doing something that I had heard of, but I didn't know you could just do whenever you wanted to do it. Explain what you're doing while we're doing the radio show.
So, Grandpa, I'm doing Facebook Live. I'm not going to do it for long because I don't see why. I'm over 40. I don't see why people should be interested in this.
I don't get it either.
But we're broadcasting live on Facebook, and people can ask you questions. It's very interactive. So
right.
Every morning I do it with my camera lady, Mary, who is a character.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do it with my daughter, Amelia, who is also a character.
Sure.
But we're required for work to do this because people really, really like it. So they start asking questions, you know, and we can answer them
what
live.
What sort of questions do you normally get on Facebook Live?
For around town, it's where are you? Yeah. If I'm at a place where, you know, the tickets are available, how much is it? How do I get there?
And the beauty of this is then people who watch you, they know where you are and then they can go and rob your house.
Or assault me. I don't. Yeah,
whatever.
That's the only thing that worries me.
Right.
Bill, you're such a Debbie Downer with these things.
But remember, I think it was last month. Remember that woman with the Chewbacca mask?
Yeah, right.
She was Facebook Living. It was the most Facebook Lived
She got 140
ever.
Million hits.
Mary and I'm going to tell you something. Mary Bowington gets recognized on the street.
Just from her Facebook Live broadcast.
3,000 people watched the morning one today.
Wow. Wow, yeah. That's impressive.
And it's kind of discouraging sometimes because you're like, well, are they going to watch TV? Mm-hmm. But they do. We still have a lot of viewers.
Are you able to sell advertising time when you're doing this? Like, could you talk about something and then go, which reminds me, there's no better cleanser than Pine Sol, and just hold up some Pine Sol? Could you do that?
My water is courtesy of Argo Tea. No, actually, Kevin bought this. But We don't farm it out. It's all just for fun.
Yeah. I bet there are some people though who get sponsors and do it that way.
Did you see Chewbacca Mom?
I did. Everyone did. You had to.
I loved her. I thought she was great. You were also a Debbie Downer about that.
I don't understand. Like I come from an era back in the 1950s when I was a kid. Everybody, you know, you had to work hard to get to that level. But now anybody with a phone can have their own network.
Newsflash, same thing in 1996 when I graduated college.
Oh, I guess so. All right.
Same thing.
All right.
Same thing. So, yeah, we've been Facebook Living. Oh, see, Mary Bowington, who is my cohort in the mornings, just said, hey, how are you?
She acknowledged that you're
She's also
you're
wondering
there.
Where we're going to get money for.
Oh, there's that. All right. Well, that's exciting.
I know. I should stop now
because
my arm is killing me.
Then you should stop.
And I don't have a lot of... I'm not Patty Vasquez. I don't have a lot of battery on this.
Boy, that's the queen of the social medias, that Patty Vasquez.
It's been great for her career.
Yeah, right.
She told me it's been really good. It's put her on the map many times. Of course. The WGN radio show
that has also if you look at a
skyrocketed
map, right true very very true. All right, well thanks to everybody who is watching or is still watching.
Tune in on WGN
on
Radio
Live.
720.
Yep. I'm on a Ouija board. Did you know that?
Okay.
I don't know what does that
even mean.
All right, here's what I wanted to talk to you about, Anna. Do you know what an acronym is?
I know what
is?
A Ouija board is. Oh, we didn't say goodbye to Ryan. Did you say goodbye?
I'll stick around. I'm like a drone that just kind of hovers over.
You can't shake Ryan.
No.
Try shaking Ryan. You can.
Okay.
I'm seven
Impossible.
Stories up.
He's here for keeps. An acronym. Do you know what an acronym is?
Yes.
Describe or explain. If I say acronym to people, for people who don't know, what would that be?
Well, isn't it like letters that spell?
Yeah. It's letters that spell something. Like if somebody goes AWOL, A-W-O-L,
right.
That means?
Missing.
That means missing, right? AWOL stands for missing. You're right.
But what does it stand for? What do the letters stand for?
I can't remember. I don't remember what that one means.
And you were fronting me.
I don't remember what AWOL means.
And you were fronting me.
I guess I was.
Hang on, guys. I have Google.
What does AWOL mean?
Oh, Wendy does that Google thing all the time.
Yeah, she's always on the Google. A little while ago, I read you a commercial for Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I said visit their website, BCBSIL.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Illinois. That's, well, Illinois, but if you want, yeah, if you're a snake.
Absent without leave.
Absent without leave.
Oh, because it was an army term, a military term.
Right, right. Like FUBAR.
We're not going to say that one.
Can't say that one. Ryan has overruled
really?
Me on FUBAR.
Oh, did he Google it fast enough?
Yeah. All right.
I just know.
So now there's a bunch of them that they say over at Reader's Digest, we should know that we encounter on an almost everyday basis acronyms that most of us do not know. Would you be comfortable with me running these past you to see if you know any of these?
Of course I am.
All right. You know that spray, if you have something that sticks or squeaks, you spray it with the stuff WD-40?
Yes.
What does WD mean in WD-40?
Ryan?
Ryan, do you know this one?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
This is a tough one.
I got it.
I Googled it.
Kevin knows it. And you didn't Google it, Kevin. You just know this.
I mean, I printed out the story, but I think I knew it before then, too.
I know it.
Oh, come on.
I know it now.
What is it?
Water displacing.
You looked it up.
Well, yeah.
You looked it up.
We don't know anything nowadays.
No.
Just how fast the computers work.
This is why I don't Google things. And I don't. Unless it's an emergency, I never Google anything because I'm afraid that path in my brain that leads from point A to point B will just shut down because everybody's just Googling stuff instead of knowing stuff.
And
I'm really glad the girls have their mother.
And you have the nicest cursive handwriting, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you notes are lovely.
Thank you. You're very kind. You're very kind. WD-40 does mean water displacement 40. They call it the 40 part because it was their 40th attempt to get this right.
Oh.
So if you're owner of a bottle of WD-38 or WD-39, hold on to it. It's going to be worth a fortune.
It's a problem because I usually call it DW-40.
DW-40.
I believe that's why Heinz 57 is called 57.
It is.
As
the
well,
57th
right?
try?
Yeah, that was the one that finally took.
Oh, wow.
Although, wait a minute. Now that I think about it, aren't they the ones that have 57 varieties?
That could be it.
I think
well.
That I don't.
Of ketchup?
They have 57 kinds
Hang on,
of ketchup.
Let me look it up.
No, they don't. Don't
I think
lie.
They do.
I'll report her on the news like that.
No, I think I'm serious. I'm pretty sure it's called Heinz 57.
Not Baskin Robbins?
No, not Baskin Robbins, but they have 31
right.
delicious
You're
flavors.
Right, 57 right. varieties.
They have 57 varieties.
Of ketchup?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen 57 at the supermarket.
Most stores don't carry all 57, but if you look, they've got in any given store they've got a dozen or 15 Heinz different versions.
Really?
I don't know if they may still not make all 57 varieties because at some point somebody just went, all right, some of these are incredibly similar. Let's just go with 57.
Right.
You know, that's plenty of ketchup.
Ripe tomatoes, smoked tomatoes.
Right. How many variations
the
do you
need? The foodies know this stuff,
yeah.
though. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like craft beer. It's,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
All right. Have a craft ketchup party.
Oh, good.
They have that, Ryan.
And
they
I'll be around
that.
Town at it.
You will be there.
You don't know how many breweries I've been to in the last 4 years.
Work-related, I hope?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
That's good news. What does CVS stand for? When you pass by a CVS pharmacy, you see those letters, but what do those letters mean, CVS?
Not a Walgreens.
No.
That's what it means, not a Walgreens.
The stores, when they were regional, were called consumer value stores,
oh.
and just the letters stuck CVS pharmacies.
Yeah.
You've, of course, had M&Ms at some point.
Yes.
Everybody has had M&Ms, but what do the M&Ms mean on M&Ms?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You're going to get, everyone would get the first one, I think. Because I think this is still part of the candy company's name, Mars.
Oh.
Like Mars bars. But the second one is Murray.
Mars and Murray?
Mars and Murray.
Yeah, that doesn't roll off your tongue.
I don't.
That will melt in your hands. And
Right. You know the stuff you spray on pans for sticking? Pam. What does that mean?
Boys. Anything?
I would say the P probably stands for pan, right?
No.
Pot?
No, Kevin.
Always with Kevin.
It means
you.
product of Arthur Meyerhoff. Now nobody would unless you are Arthur Meyerhoff, you would not know that.
No.
Pam stands for product of Arthur Meyerhoff. And to this day, whenever I meet a girl named Pam, it's impossible for me to not think of her being able to create some sort of coating on a pan.
That's not a very creative name.
Pam.
This is our product.
Right.
What is
it should
that?
It should have more juice to it, shouldn't it? It should.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Necco wafers. These are the candies if you ever want to pretend you're a priest and giving communion.
Oh, yeah.
You use Necco wafers. Do you know what that stands for?
No.
New England Confectionery Company.
Oh, that makes sense.
I would never have gotten that. Anna, this is one of my favorite drinks of all time. This is the chocolate drink that I believe has no actual chocolate in it, and it's called Yoo-hoo. Isn't that some good stuff? Oh, I'm wrong.
No.
I read this too quickly. It's not Yoo-hoo. It's Yahoo, the website. This shows you I am a dinosaur.
Oh,
when
my
I see
gosh.
Yahoo, I just think of Yoo-hoo. Those should be one company. They should merge to form Yahoo Yoo-hoo. Do you know what that means besides the fact that I'm goofy and don't know what it is?
What does Yahoo mean?
Yahoo means yet another hierarchical official oracle.
Are you serious?
How would anyone know that?
What about Yoo-hoo?
That one I know, but I don't want to share. I swear, Kevin, I looked at it and I'm like, good, finally a mention of Yoo-Hoo on the show. We don't get enough of
those.
You
put a bill twist on
it. Are you serious that you thought it said Yoo-Hoo? No,
yeah,
you
but
didn't.
It says Yahoo. No. I did.
You're a Yahoo.
I am a Yahoo. All right. When you send a letter, remember letters? Remember when people used to send letters to each other?
Mm-hmm.
You would include a zip code. And what does the zip in zip code stand for?
Zone.
Yes. You're one third of the way there. Zone.
In.
Improvement. Plan.
Oh.
Zone improvement plan. Now, I don't know if you're old enough to know this, but for a while, if you went to the post office, when the zip code was still a fairly new thing, they had a character that they used, a cartoon character, to help you learn about the zip code and the importance of including a zip code. Do you remember him or know his name?
No.
His name was Mr. Zip, and he was a very scary-looking cartoon character, but his job was to let America know that your letter will get there faster, because there was a time when you sent a letter, you didn't have a zip code, but Mr. Zip came along and taught us, America, that if you want to get that letter there within the month, include a zip code, and they will have that letter.
Did he have fangs or something?
Yeah,
is that why he scared you?
And a big open wound.
Ooh.
Yeah. He really wasn't very pleasant on it. I don't know why they had Mr.
And he's
Zip.
No longer with us.
No. Died in a very, very
That never improved with an ointment.
No. No, you could rub an ointment on that for weeks, and that's not going to make a dent. No. IKEA. You know the IKEA stores where you have to build everything?
Yeah.
Swedish.
It is Swedish.
But is it
nature?
An American...
No, this is...
Are you going to do it in Swedish? Are you going to say it in Swedish?
Here we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Special
Swedish.
Request. You want it in Swedish?
Let's do it.
Ingvar Kamprad Empjard Ungenjard.
Sounds like 3 hours on the floor of my living room.
And the possible loss of a digit.
Right. Yeah, start with 10, end with 8 or 9.
I swear, I had that monkey wrench go.
My favorite thing about IKEA stuff, and I don't know, have you ever attempted to build anything from IKEA?
I outsource this to my husband.
Smart.
And after he built maybe 5 things from IKEA, he made me swear I would never, ever purchase anything.
Oh, is that
there.
Right?
He said, I will never do this. Same thing with the kids' toys. He's like, please have them assemble them somewhere else.
It's impossible.
Yeah, he always ended up with a wheel that was
right.
Left.
I know this is important, but I
or
have it left
screw
over.
Or some screw he was supposed to put in.
Have you guys ever hung out there on like a Saturday before?
I've been
it's
in
nuts.
There.
Yeah.
If you go to the one in Schaumburg and you sit in the middle and like that food quarter, you can feel the building sway.
Really?
Oh, I'm serious.
The amount
it's
of
crazy.
People? Yeah.
I don't know what it's coming from, but you can feel the building sway.
When I lived in New Jersey, there was an IKEA by where we lived, and people would get buzzed in from Manhattan.
They would drive in by way of bus just to visit
Thank
the IKEA
because
store.
That buzz didn't that come was... out right. It sounded really, really accented. You see, I have a problem with the S's, because sometimes I do them real hard. And when they're supposed to be.
We just got a text
soft.
From Charo. She knew what you were saying.
Thank you. And Sofia Vergara.
You're right. They both texted in together.
Thank you, girl.
They got it, but the rest of us.
Bilingual is beautiful.
We have built, or I should say, I have you tried have. To build. I've tried to build 2 things of furniture from IKEA. And the instructions that I get, I don't know if this is the norm at IKEA, but for me, they show you a guy building it, and he's just a naked fat guy. Like, I don't know what they're going for, but they
Are
show
Are you
a guy,
buying porn at IKEA?
No, I would. No.
What is this?
No.
Why is it a naked fat man?
I don't know. They show a guy, like, building. I built a dresser for my daughters from IKEA. So they show this guy who looks like, remember Ziggy, the cartoon strip Ziggy?
Yes.
He looks like his slightly uglier brother. Yeah, big nose, giant. Yeah. So it looks like his, like, brother that didn't come out quite as right as Ziggy, but they show him building the dresser, and I guess it's their way of saying, look, if
Anyone
this guy
can do
can
it.
Do it, you can do it.
So here are the Swedish instructions.
Right. Good luck to you in Swedish.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Anna Balaval is here, and people are loading up on the phone lines. We're trying to figure out these acronyms and what they mean. We're at 312-981-7200. It's WGN. It's Bill F. It's Anna Balaval. She's filling in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back on Monday. We're talking about acronyms. That's when you see a bunch of letters in a row. They take the first letters of several different words, and it forms a new word. George has one for us. But, George, before you ask us the one that you have, I'm going to throw one your way. This radio station is called WGN, WGN Radio.
Oh, I know this one.
You work for WGN Television. What does the WGN mean, George? Do you know?
Oh, my God. I listen to WGN every single day.
You won't
and I
be able to anymore.
I...
Oh, my God.
You have to stop.
WGN.
If you don't know.
you know, I can't even call myself a WGN fan anymore.
Oh, this is
so
terrible.
Disappointing. What a sad day.
You know what? Take us my pillow away.
Right, you have to send us your MyPillow.
There is no mattress firmness in your life.
Right.
You know what? I actually got a MyPillow from you guys last year, and it is like the best thing I've ever
I told you. We don't make that up.
It's world's greatest newspaper.
That's what it is.
It's unbelievable, and it was stuck in a suitcase for 3 months, and when I moved and I pulled it out, and it just like inflated again, like nothing ever happened to it.
He's ignoring your facts.
He ignored me, and he's in love with his MyPillow.
Well, that's good.
And I'm so happy for you, but just to let you know, WGN stands for World's Greatest newspaper.
That's it, exactly.
Okay, I will never forget that.
Oh, we hope not. George, what do you have? You have one for us, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Well, really quickly before I get to it, I think that if IKEA ever wins any type of award for anything, commerce, business, I think we should send it to them in pieces and make them assemble it.
They can build it themselves. That
send
would
them
teach
a screwdriver
them.
That's half the size of their hand so that they, you know, they have to, I don't know, I'm not a fan of their furniture, but do you guys know what SCUBA stands for?
Oh.
No, I saw it on the screen and I really wanted to take this call. What does it stand for?
SCUBA stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Wow.
It makes sense. And that's the perfect word. I mean, I guess because I'm conditioned to know that word as something scuba related, it fits, but it just sounds underwatery, doesn't it?
Yes.
It fits.
Yes, it does.
It fits perfectly. And like my dad would say, this is the unimportant but interesting fact of the day.
Your dad is right.
He's full of them too.
George, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Take care. You too.
That was so interesting.
Yep. Now, Jim has a little history for us. As we said, WGN stands for World's Greatest Newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jim, you know a little something more than that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'll make it real short. I'm the guy I'm actually named after was a guy named Jim Cleary. And he was Colonel McCormick's kind of right-hand man on the promotion side for the Tribune newspaper. And the colonel had been borrowing the signals for a radio station out of the old Edgewater Beach Hotel, and he decided, gosh darn it, I want my own radio station. So they've kind of finished it in the tower of the Wrigley Building, and when they're ready to hit the air, they decided World's Greatest Newspaper would be great call letters, except an old ship on the Great Lakes had that as their call letters for their ship-to-shore radio. So our Uncle Jim had to go meet the ship's captain and buy the call letters WGN off the ship.
And what do you know what that went for back then? How much did he pay for it? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I should ask. His daughter is 99 years old.
Oh, really?
Wow.
He's actually he's one of the guys that put WGN radio on the air for the Colonel. Then.
That's fantastic.
But I'll find out.
Great history. Well, thanks, Jim. Please do. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Wow.
Can I throw one more your way? This is the last one, I promise. At some point, you probably saw a Nerf ball, a Nerf basketball, a Nerf football.
Yeah.
Nerf isn't just a made-up word. It stands for something. Do you know what that stands for?
Why do I want to say pneumatic? No.
It's not pneumatic. I think pneumatic starts with a P, doesn't it?
I don't know. It's not my first language.
I think it does. Does it, Kevin? Pneumatic does start with a P.
Oh, yeah. Pneumatic.
Pneumatic.
English is a wonderful language.
Come on. It's overrated.
The simplicity of it.
Why wouldn't pneumatic start with a P?
Right.
Maybe the guy who invented it had pneumonia.
I don't know why.
Had pneumonia and went to the psychologist.
That's why. NERF stands for non-expandable recreational foam.
Oh, because it doesn't expand.
Right. AKA NERF, also known as AKA.
AKA.
Now I'm showing off. At this point, I'm
also
just showing off.
Also known as.
That's what AKA means. All right. We'll take a quick break. Ryan has the news and then a whole bunch more show. Stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Anna Bolivar sitting in for Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff, and it's Anna Bolivar. You know Anna from her work on the WGN TV Morning News, where she's, I'm going to say you've won some TV Emmys, but you may not have you?
Yeah, three.
Three TV Emmys for Anna Bolivar. Where do you keep those fictional Emmys?
In my closet.
In your Emmy closet.
No, not in my Emmy closet.
Just a regular closet. Just your regular closet. There's a lot of text coming in, so there needs to be some clarification.
Okay.
And
you're all about accuracy here.
I want to be accurate. And what happens on is throughout the show, people often text us or call to correct us. And I can't get to all of them because the show is only 4 hours long.
Right.
There wouldn't be time for any content. So every show I pick one or maybe two things to correct. In this particular instance, we were talking about Heinz 57, the ketchup,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little back and forth between Ryan and us as to what the 57 referred to. And I said, it's 57 varieties, and then we all tried to figure out why would there be 57 different kinds of ketchup. It turns out that Heinz makes 57 varieties of product,
So that could be anything from...
That's what I thought. Because this is America.
This is America.
So you'd think the Jewels would have a whole aisle dedicated to the 57 varieties of ketchup.
Wouldn't you? Yes.
But no, if we don't have it in our aisles, it does not exist, and we made a mistake, and we apologize.
You know this because you're from another land. So you know this. You're
part of the U.S., but another land.
You're from Foreignville.
Yes.
When you go to other countries and you go to their grocery stores, mm-hmm. they have, like we have, if you go to the cookie aisle, it's an mm-hmm. entire aisle of cookies. If you go to the Jell-O aisle, there are 30 or 40 different flavors of Jell-O.
Uh-huh.
But when you go to a foreign land, mm-hmm. they have one shelf and they have crackers and they have buns and a potato and that's about it.
I have a story.
Do you have a story? What is your story?
When my daughter was born 8 years ago,
yes,
I lived in Streeterville. My parents came from Puerto Rico to help me take care of the baby.
Yes.
We sent my father, who has never gone grocery shopping up until 8 years ago,
yes,
to go grocery shopping and get us wheat bread and, you know, cheese and turkey
sure.
and all that stuff. And so we send them armed with a cell phone. Back then, I guess my dad was in his 60s.
Probably a rotary cell phone at the time.
Right, a giant one.
You have to dial it.
Right. And so he's at the Dominick's,
yes.
defunct Dominick's.
Sad but
and
true.
He calls us and he says, what type of wheat bread do you want? There are 14 types of wheat bread in this aisle.
I know.
And the reality is that in Puerto Rico's an island, so it's whatever the boat brings.
That's it.
Growing up there, I never noticed it. What we had is what we had. But as I've traveled back home for 20 years, I go grocery shopping with my mom, and they're right. The tomatoes look awful.
I know.
The bread is maybe four types of bread. So I will give my mother a list of things to get me when we're coming home with the kids.
Right.
And she says, they don't have Mott's for Tots here. What is that? They only have apple juice because it's whatever the boat brought.
Right.
And that was, it's like a common saying in Puerto Rico, lo que trajo el barco.
What does
whatever
that mean?
The boat brought.
Oh, that's it.
And right. your mother would tell you that if you wanted something that she couldn't make happen, was like, this is what the boat brought. So a couple of boats, giant ships, capsized last year.
Oh, no.
And, one of them had provisions for Puerto Rico, had
yeah.
food. So for weeks, they couldn't get good lettuce. And
no way.
It's unfortunate
terrible.
Because our agriculture is limited.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can eat from the land only so much.
Right.
And that's also why produce is so expensive back
yep.
home, vegetables and so. And when my parents come here, it's like Shangri-La.
Yeah,
look
I bet.
At these aisles. But that, and I've grown up where a lot of options make me nervous.
Too many options are a bad thing.
My Glenview-born husband, I'm sorry, Evanston-born,
yeah.
Glenview-raised husband,
yeah.
despises the fact that I'll go to a supermarket and grab the first thing or just grab the same thing I've bought since I was a kid because
oh,
I
yeah.
thought Kraft singles were cheese. And that's the only thing the boat brought, the Kraft singles.
That's all you get.
So when I go to the supermarket, he sends me with pictures. He goes, this is what you need to get. And I'm like, but this one, it's missing one word and it does not work.
Isn't
because in
something?
His house, going to the supermarket was a treat.
Oh, sure.
They had so many options.
Yeah, I know.
When you're from a small place. But I have a friend from Valpo who grew up in Valpo, Indiana. And mm-hmm. she says it's kind of the same thing in small town America.
Yeah, it is. It is. Last year we were in Costa Rica. My wife, one of my daughters, and I were in Costa Rica
That's
for a while.
That's not where I'm from.
No, I know that. I know that. So we ventured out to the grocery store one day to get supplies for the room. And because we're used to giant
right.
block-long grocery stores, mm-hmm. that's what we were looking for, and that just doesn't exist. We ended up in a store. It was their largest grocery store in the village we were in that was about half the size of one of our 7-Elevens. Mm-hmm. And they had next to, like, there was no such thing as options. If you were going to get tea, they had one kind of tea. If you were going to get, you name it, they had one kind of soup. They had one kind of everything. Until you got to the cheese puff aisle, and then they had about 11 or 12 different kinds of giant plastic containers of cheese puffs.
Well, they're known for their coffee and their cheese puffs.
And their cheese puffs, I guess.
I guess.
Well, I don't know why there was that much. I wanted to ask somebody. I didn't want to offend anybody, but
right.
boy, did they have a lot of cheese puffs!
Right.
All different kind of colors and shapes and sizes.
Were they local cheese puffs or the brands you know?
Actually, most of them. And this is, you know, you're getting quality when there's no name on the package at all. It was just a clear plastic container
because those are homemade.
I think they were making them in the back. Mm-hmm. I do. I really do. Right.
Balling them up.
Our clerk had very orange fingers, and I thought something was wrong with his liver. I was concerned for his liver, but I think he was in the back making cheese puffs.
Yeah. Yeah. How did we start talking?
I don't remember. Well, it was the Heinz 57.
Oh.
So the texts say, not one, not two, but three different texts say the 57 and Heinz 57 does not mean they make 57 separate types of ketchup, but they make many other products, the good people over at Heinz. So that's
apologize.
What that refers. Yeah, we apologize to anybody.
We apologize right, to John Kerry.
To his wife especially. Yeah.
Especially his wife.
Especially his wife. We didn't mean to offend. We were just trying to enlighten and entertain. So we have a couple of calls. Hold on a second. Let me see if Dean can help us out with any of this.
Oh, yay.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? What's up?
Not too bad, not too bad. I was just saying that there was a movie with Robin Williams a while back, a really good movie, actually, called Moscow on the Hudson.
Sure.
And he was from Russia, and he actually went to the store in the States to buy coffee. And there was so many different brands of coffee on the shelves that he actually had a nervous breakdown in the store.
That was my dad with the wheat bread.
It's understandable. I'm from here, and there are times my wife will send me to the store for something, and I go, well, they'll have one or maybe two options of that. Even toothpaste. I mean, there's so many different variations just on toothpaste. It's amazing. But I get it.
The best part of that movie was the fact that there wasn't really – everybody in the movie was some type of ethnic background.
Right. I remember.
Oh,
it's
I don't remember it. Moscow on the Hudson. I know which one it is. I just don't remember –
with Maria Conchita Alonso, I believe.
How do I not remember?
You
They're going to take my
her.
Latin card away.
You must know the work of Maria Conchita Alonso.
I know her. I know her songs, too.
Well, of course. Of course. Dean, thank you so much.
You got it.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
I thought it was Dean Richards.
No, it's not Dean Richards.
I got really excited.
Oh, no, there's a lot of different deans.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many deans.
Okay.
Let's talk to David. Hey, David.
Bill, it's David Wallach. How are you, buddy?
Excellent. What's going on, David?
You know I'm always listening to you.
Oh, you're very nice. Hey. Thank you.
Even when you're sleeping.
That's weird.
Oh, God.
That's weird, but I do appreciate
That's
it.
That's what happens
strangely.
When you use the internet.
You're right. What's up, David?
Hey, so, as you know, I produce documentaries for TV shows, and we interviewed a few years ago the official Heinz historian at the Heinz headquarters in Pittsburgh. And the 57, Mr. Heinz thought it was an appealing number to the eye, that people would find those two numbers together sexy.
You know, there's something to
that. I can see that.
Right?
I can see that.
Yeah, they're thin enough, but still round
and
enough.
Curvy.
They're curvy.
They attach to each other in a certain way.
Yeah, he could have had 58 or 59 or 60, but
you averted your 57. Eyes because I started dancing.
I got a little nervous.
You got a little nervous. If you are watching us on the web, Bill Leff averted
his
eyes
nervous.
Like when I'm in a bikini and my dad's around. He
right.
just does not.
It was the same look.
It's the same
look. It was.
I was trying to mimic the 57 and the 7.
Now, see, again,
I can't look.
Can't look at you.
Thank you, David. That was really
David,
interesting.
Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
Have a great weekend. Take care. And I can't look at you. It's too exciting for me. We're going to take a quick break. I may take a quick cold shower.
Stop.
I may have to.
It was just a dance.
And then, it wasn't just a dance. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill F. and it's Anna Balaval in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Well done. We're talking about a bunch of different things with Anna Balaval. You know her from the TVG. The TVG Morning News.
Don't worry, I messed
the
that
TVG
read up,
Morning
and
News.
It was the shortest one.
The WGN TV Morning News.
It's the WGN Morning News.
That's
you don't
all
have
people
to add
need
the
to
TV.
Say. That's extra. People know
you
it's
like
on
that,
TV.
Because you're on the radio, and you want to make sure they don't...
I want separate. I want
they
some
won't
separation.
Mix you up with the riffraff.
No, I understand that. Hey, you want some good news? You know what's happening on New Year's Eve? This is extremely good news. You know, people always say, boy, there's not enough time in the world. The time just flies by. There's
if I could have one more second, is what
they
say.
You hear people say that?
Not an hour.
Right.
Because that would be greedy. Not a minute.
No.
A second.
One extra second. Boy, my life would be better. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what, everybody? You're getting your wish on New Year's Eve. They're adding a second. They're calling it a leap second. Much like they do.
Like a leap year.
Yeah. But even leap year should be called leap day because you're just getting a bonus day. You're not getting a bonus year.
Right.
Right.
But it messes the whole year up.
The whole year is off kilter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of leap. Because you get, do you know anybody who was born on that February 29th?
Uh-huh.
And then their whole year, they just take their age and they quarter it?
Right.
Yeah. That's weird. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
Well, nothing stranger than this. This New Year's Eve, a leap second will be added to the world's official clock that'll happen on December the 31st at 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds UTC time. Have you ever heard of that?
UTC. Universal.
It says UTC stands for Coordinated Universal Time, but then I would argue it should be CUT, not UTC.
That's how I've seen it, is CUT, I think.
I don't know why they invert that way.
It's messing with our acronym segment.
That's what it's doing. That's what it's doing.
Which was flawless.
This, right. It was flawless. This is, first of all, confusing. Yeah. Second of all, it corresponds here in the United States to 6:59:59 Eastern Time.
Plus one.
Minus one or plus one?
They're adding a second, right?
No, I meant hours, because they're giving this an Eastern time. So what time? If it's happening at 6:59:59 in New York,
Bill, this is just getting 5:59. Now we're doing math.
It's 5:59, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everyone gets a little extra. Well, I guess when they're having their New Year's Eve,
they can make out for a second longer.
Yeah. Well, but this would be in the evening, right? This would be before the celebration.
PM hours. So the goal, it says, is to confuse us and to keep two different timescales in sync with each other.
It'll be 11:59:59. Where do they add the second?
They will add it just before the stroke of midnight. There will be one. Now again, not for us here in the Midwest region, because for us this is happening
at
seven o'clock.
Okay.
But at the center of the universe. Wherever that is. Where is the center of the universe?
Ecuador. No, that's
in
the middle.
In Ecuador.
That's the middle.
It will happen the 1 second before New Year's Eve, before the new year.
Do you remember that Chi-Town Rising thing they did here and they messed up the ball dropping or the star? Could you imagine if they do that to them? Poor Mario Lopez is not going to know what to do with himself.
And you don't want to get on Mario Lopez's bad side.
No, because he can sashay and kickball change you out of there.
He can do it all.
So will this additional second be compliant to our cell phones and our computers, Bill?
You know, that's a great question.
Probably.
Ryan. It's going to be that whole Y2K scare all over again.
Oh, no. I'm going to be a Navy pier with a bunch of people screaming.
Should we start hoarding peanuts and bread?
Yes, and water. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's do it.
That's what they recommend. The world time scale. They recommend that you start hoarding things because it's going to be the end of the world as we know it, but it'll happen in different time zones.
R.A.M. was right.
Toilet paper becomes very valuable at a time like that.
Yes.
In my house, for sure. You don't understand when we're down to six rolls, the emergency text.
I know, I
that
do
I
understand.
Get. We are down to six rolls.
Believe me, I understand. So I guess the big question is, what are we going to do with this extra second? The sky's the limit.
I'll probably sleep. I have to go to work the next day. That's when I get to anchor the big show.
Well, you'll get
an extra second
of sleep
until that day.
This comes as a good thing for you, then.
Yes.
You know what I think I'm going to do is travel.
Like time travel?
No.
In your mind?
I don't have that ability to time travel, but just pick a destination, someplace that my family's always wanted to go to, and use that extra time wisely.
That's a good idea.
And travel.
Going to be an expensive second, though. That's what I'm seeing on all the blogs.
I know.
That's going to be, it's the most expensive second to fly. Hotel rates go up in that 1 second.
They're going
to
be promotions
like crazy.
It's, yeah, extra
second. Spend that extra second with us.
Is it the second city?
Right.
Oh, Ryan.
You got to sell that to the Tourism Bureau immediately.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Goodness. Now,
I thought to myself, and I'm a little bit older than you, and I'm way, way older than Ryan, that this has happened before, and it has happened before.
Wait, why are you way, way older than Ryan, and I'm just older than Ryan?
I guess that was said poorly, wasn't it?
It was pretty much spot on.
Oh, this isn't good. This happened.
You're talking about Zip the Mail Guy. I don't think that's
I don't know that. Ryan, for the record, I don't know that either.
Look, my family and I used to gather around the radio, and when President Hoover was done with his address, we would listen to Gabby Hayes for 20 minutes. Now 20 minutes and 1 second, if it happened today. And we would talk about things like this. Back in 1972, the same exact thing happened. They needed to add one extra second to apparently balance the universe out so that it didn't throw things off kilter.
This is like hanging out at work because I have Mike Toomey right across me and all his references are to 1972.
Lost on you? I'm sorry.
1954.
I apologize.
How did we turn out after 1972?
Oh, the world was weird.
Really?
Was it?
Ugh.
Did you have jet lag? I'm sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, everyone had jet lag.
Did the president stick around?
For a little while. He stuck around. A little extra second or two.
We may have President Trump, so that may explain that.
Right. he can say hateful things for an extra second. It'll be great.
It'll be huge.
Everybody, it will be huge. All right, so don't do anything now because nothing's happening until New Year's Eve. But just know that come New Year's Eve into New Year's Day, we will all have an extra 1 second to enjoy ourselves and use it wisely.
Go nuts.
Advice. Go nuts. Go crazy. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Ryan has the news in a couple of minutes and 1 second, so stick around. It's Bill Leff and Anna Balaval on WGN. Ryan, thank you very much. I saw a very strange story this morning in ProPublica. That's a website, ProPublica.org. Here's the gist of it, and one of the authors of that story is joining us to help explain, because it's almost unbelievable. Tens of thousands of people every year are sent to jail based on the results of a $2 roadside drug test. The problem is the results are horribly inaccurate. People are going to jail for nothing. Joining us right now is Topher Sanders, one of the authors of that article for ProPublica.org. Topher, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Explain briefly this drug test. Now, this is something that law enforcement is equipped with, and it costs roughly $2 to get this drug test, right?
That's correct. Yeah, so the drug test is kind of like a vial of reagent chemicals inside a plastic baggie. And law enforcement officers, if they encounter someone that they believe has an illicit substance on them, they can take that substance, put it into the baggie, break the vial with the chemical substance in it, shake it up a bit, tap it, get it to react to whatever's in there, and based on color changes can determine whether or not the person has heroin, cocaine, meth, et cetera.
But it's not as accurate as law enforcement believes it to be, Topher. This is Anna.
Hey, Anna, that's our findings, is that it's not as accurate as law enforcement may think it is.
What is the percentage? I mean, how do you know that it's not as accurate?
Well, we have one great municipality that kind of flows to the top and gives us an idea of what it looks like, and that's out of Houston, and that's kind of the centerpiece of the data that we have. And also we have examples out of Florida and Vegas, et cetera. But out of Houston, we were able to see that in about a decade span, they found 400 cases that had problems associated with these drug field tests. 300 of those cases all came from Houston PD. And of those, 200 of them were folks that took plea deals, but then later were found to not have any drugs at all on them.
Which means they spent time in jail, Topher.
Yeah. Some of those folks definitely spent time in jail, either waiting for, you know, their trial to kind of get worked out or a plea to get worked out. And some people ended up spending more time in jail than that.
Are all these drug kits manufactured by the same company, or is it different companies making them?
They're different companies. About three big companies make these different drug kits.
And is there any disclaimer, like when they sell these to law enforcement around the country, do they say that there's a certain margin of error or not?
No, they don't. And in fact, the federal government recommended strongly through the 70s and 80s that there be explicit marking on the packets of these products. And when we went back to talk to the biggest makers, they did not have those markings on their packets. At least one of those makers has since changed after we sent them a letter saying, hey, here are our findings. They've started to put markings on their packets to explicitly say that, hey, this is not an infallible piece of evidence here.
How long have the kits been in use?
Since the 70s. Created in 73. And went wide to law enforcement in around 78, you know, right when the drug war started to kick up big and large. Law enforcement saw these as a very efficient way to dispose of possession cases.
And
go on, Anna.
No, go ahead, Bill.
In all that time, was there ever a defense attorney who said, hey, my client is being held or has done some jail time for a drug test that may or may not be as accurate as you think it is? Has that come up on any occasions?
It totally has. And in fact, it was through some case law that it became clear that these kits could not be admissible into court. And that kind of is the kind of driving thrust of our story, is that it isn't about these drug kits showing up in a court of law and there being, you know, kind of fact finding around them because courts don't admit them. It's about them being used to leverage plea deals and folks feeling though they don't have much of a choice and taking a plea deal based on the field test them all.
So do these people end up with this on their record? Can they expunge their record? Do they now have a felony on their record, like the poor woman on your story?
Yes, they do. Oh. And they can expunge it if they know about it.
And how to do it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what happened with Amy Albritton, is it wasn't until my reporting colleague Ryan Gabrielson gave her a call to let her know that, you know, that that conviction that you had, it was a false conviction. It shouldn't have happened. And she, to her heart, knew that what they said it was in that car, which was, you know, cocaine, she knew that it wasn't that, but she had no proof, and she didn't know that the courts had determined without a doubt that indeed she was innocent.
And this is a woman, I'm trying to remember because you tell a couple of case studies in your story. This was the woman in Houston, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was driving through Houston but was from Louisiana. That's correct.
I'm sorry, that's right. And so they stopped her. I'm trying to remember why they stopped her. Was it just a routine stop? They thought she was speeding or something, or what happened?
Yeah, it was a didn't signal a turn stop. And so then pulled her over, and from there learned that the driver, which was her boyfriend at the time, didn't have his license. And that escalated the entire encounter at that point. And that's when they asked if they could search her vehicle and found material on the floorboard that when they threw it into the field kit, they determined that it was cocaine.
It's so insane with the numbers that you guys have thrown out there of how many inaccuracies. I could certainly see where one or two might fall through, but you're talking hundreds or even thousands of mistakes over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to get the entire database for the state of Florida. So all instances where someone sent, someone being the law enforcement agencies in the state of Florida, sent drug material to the state lab and asked for a confirmation test. And so let's just take meth, for example. Mm-hmm. In a 5-year swath where law enforcement agencies in Florida sent meth, items they described as meth, to the state lab and asked for confirmation testing, 20% of the time it was not meth, and 10% of the time it wasn't a drug at all. And so those are just the cases that they're sending. They don't send the cases to the state lab where they've already got a plea deal. So it's really difficult to get an idea of how many people are actually being subjected to these bad convictions.
And then people don't believe that there are some innocent people in jail.
Right.
Who get caught up because these things don't happen quickly. The process, the judicial process, especially if you don't have money, does not happen quickly. You can't bring your case up to court again after you've done a plea deal quick enough. You don't have the money for the attorney.
Yeah, so true.
And if you talk to enough people, that is often one of the reasons they're so willing to plead.
Yeah.
Even if they know they're innocent, you take someone like Amy. Mm-hmm. She's got a son at home with disabilities that she has to get back to. She's got a job that she has to get back to. She's in a state that is not her home state, and yet she's sitting in a county jail. She wants to get out. And so when given the opportunity, people take that opportunity.
She was told it would be 45 days or less than 45 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Topher Sanders is our guest. He is a co-author of a great story on ProPublica.org that tells about these $2 roadside drug tests and how inaccurate they've been. Topher, George is on the line. George is a police officer and has a little something to add to the story. George, thanks for calling in.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, George.
What do you know about this, George?
I don't know what kind of tests they are. I know in the northwest suburbs, we use the reagent, and it's a preliminary drug test. Nobody ever goes to jail on a preliminary drug test. The drug test that we used on the street for cocaine, at the time when I'm a retired police officer, we didn't have a test for methamphetamine. And usually methamphetamine would come back, months later through the lab. But the presumptive test is like a field test for DUI. It gives us probable cause to believe. My question would be on all these cases, if it wasn't cocaine, what is it?
If they find sort of powder, what are they going to, other than cocaine, what would it be?
It could be a lot of things.
Angel
Well, in the case, they weren't able to determine what it was in Amy's case, but everything from migraine medicine to household cleaners can give a positive reaction to the cocaine reagent.
Interesting. All right. Now,
my experience is if it had a little bit of cocaine in it and what we called cut,
It came back positive. Then we would send whatever drugs we had to the lab. State's attorneys in Cook County never accepted the preliminary test to send somebody to jail. If the test from the lab came back negative, case was dropped.
But would you take the person in? Into custody?
You'd hold them, wouldn't you?
We would take them and
hold them,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
we
charge
would take them and hold them, and they'd be able to make a bond. And because there is no lab immediately, the judge would ask us, what was the preliminary test? Came back positive for marijuana, cocaine, whatever. And, you know, then we have a white powder, too, that we found. And we still had to prove probable cause. And probable cause just wasn't the test that we got. It was the totality of the events. We stopped him. He didn't have a license. We searched his car. We towed his car, and we found this white powder. The white powder tested positive for cocaine. That was the steps to it. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Right, right.
And, you know, nobody ever went to jail, though, on a preliminary test that came back positive where the state lab came back as negative.
Topher, were these preliminary tests, or were these the... Go ahead.
Yeah, everything about a field test is preliminary. It's all presumptive. And so everything that George is saying sounds right. Uh-huh. The only difference is that in other jurisdictions, they will accept the plea conviction without having a confirmation from the lab. And that is the rub. Right. And that's what happened.
And that can happen here, too.
Okay.
That can happen. And then we get into an argument of why would you plead to something that you're innocent of? That would be my police side coming out.
Well,
it's not right.
And George, just really quickly, because I'm trying to envision the whole scenario. Once you pull somebody over, exactly what point after you've pulled them over would this test be used? Where would that come into play exactly?
Usually, immediately. If you didn't have one on you, we would call a sergeant. They were usually in the trunks of squad cars, just for that reason.
All right.
Before we arrest you, if we have an arrestable offense where we're going to seize your car, and that's going to be a tow, we're going to tow your car, we have to do a search of it. And we search the car, we find something, or we find it on you, we take a small sample of it, and we do a preliminary test with it.
It's not like in movies you'll see a cop kind of taste it for a second, and they can determine that doesn't happen, does it?
No one wants to taste it.
No, I don't think so.
We never taste anything we don't know what
exactly
it is.
Exactly. Right. On the floor of a car.
Solid advice. Yeah. All right. Yeah. George, thank you.
The only thing is that, all these things, and Topher, on your article, it's so well expressed. This woman, Amy, she is crying hysterically, and she gets a lawyer assigned to her. This is not a woman who can make a phone call to a family attorney and think very matter-of-factly. She had dated this guy for a month. She was wondering, well, maybe did he have something? Did he not have something? So it's not as matter-of-fact. Not everybody is a police officer. I'm an educated woman. I don't know what the I get nervous during a traffic stop.
Sure, of course.
I don't know where to put my hands. Where's my insurance? So I think it's a little more gray and complicated than this. When she gets stopped, she's nervous. This attorney that was assigned to her said, well, they found something and it's cocaine. And this is the best case scenario to get you out of this. She's in a place she doesn't know.
Yeah.
No one's answering the phone that she knows. She can't rely on anybody. So she goes with it. I can totally see that happening.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the encounters with police are scary for folks. And when we talk to people, again and again, we were told about, you know, them feeling firm that it wasn't the substance they were being told it was. But then again, this is the police in front of you waving some chemical thing telling you that you have a drug.
It looks pretty convincing, right? Mm-hmm. Let me get another call in really quickly. Eric is on the phone. Eric got falsely arrested for cocaine possession. What was your story, Eric? What exactly happened there?
Well, when I was in the Army in Germany, they did a health and welfare inspection. And me and my buddy both got, I don't know if you'd say arrested, we got detained. They said it was approximately $500,000 worth of cocaine.
In your car or where?
In our lockers in the barracks.
Okay.
They said, you know, it was cocaine. They had to do further tests. But actually, all it was powder protein for weightlifting.
Oh, wow.
It just didn't have a label on the big jugs that we had in our locker.
Yeah. And did they do a similar test like the one that Topher's talking about, a chemical analysis test?
I honestly don't know what kind it was, but they said it was a preliminary test that came up positive, and then they would have to do another one. So they held us in, like, the military holding cell for a few hours.
Yeah.
Oh. Diet pills way back when had crack or speed.
Very similar compound.
Diet pills will do it, too. Mm-hmm. They told us all of those things would come up. That's why they tested right away afterwards. But we told them, where are we going to get the money to buy that much cocaine and leave it in our lockers like that?
You're a cartel all to yourselves.
Sure.
Right, right. And the big jugs that you see in, like, what is that, GNC and stuff that we had.
Wow.
And then they found out what it really was, and then they let us go again.
Interesting.
How about that? Eric, thank you.
Take care. I love your show.
Thank you, sir. All right, so, Topher, I guess the big question is this. Now that you've written this expose, and it's certainly a good one, what happens now? Are they changing the rules with these drug tests? What's going to happen?
You know, when it comes to these types of reporting, these types of reports, you just kind of wait and see. We do have some additional reporting that we'll be doing. But as far as what municipalities will do with this information, that's up to them. You know, what I can tell you is that we talked to the Prosecutors Association out of D.C., which is the membership organization for a lot of the big prosecuting houses throughout the country. They told us that they don't believe municipalities should be taking these deals absent a lab confirmation. In fact, I think the word used was sloppy. If you're taking people's convictions in the absence of a lab confirmation test and just using these presumptive tests.
And they refer to this as sloppy how? I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, sloppy because all you have is presumptive.
And
The realization that
it's not enough.
The possibility that it isn't a drug at all or some other drug. Because to be clear, I just want to make, there are instances where it's just a different drug. It isn't that it isn't a drug at all.
Right.
It's just that the test came back and told you it was, you know, meth when actually it was cocaine. So,
right. Well, a great job on the story. Topher Sanders has written the story along with Ryan Gabrielson. You can read it for yourself at ProPublica.org. That's where we found it this morning. Thanks so much, Topher. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Have a great weekend. We're going to take a quick break and then a little bit more show, and then Brian Noonan will be in. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Anna Balaval in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right. I want to quickly thank you, Anna, for coming in today. Here's my hope is that you had a good time.
I had a blast.
Did you have
Thank
a nice time?
Thank you so
time?
Much, yes.
Can you, now our original agreement, if you look at our original contract,
yes.
We had you in today from 1 to 3, and then tomorrow 1 to 3, will you be honoring the terms of that contract?
Yes.
You will come back tomorrow.
Indeed.
All right. I am looking forward to that.
So am I.
What can people expect on tomorrow's show? I thought I'd put you on the spot. What will they hear tomorrow when they listen to us?
To us?
Yeah, to me and you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say around. Just a cornucopia,
a kaleidoscope of fun.
A potpourri of fun.
A potpourri of fun. That, what
All
else do people want?
All sorts of aromas.
There will be many aromas.
Which works for radio. And strange
yes.
sounds.
Yes.
I thought you were going to ask me tomorrow morning around town, remember? Synergy.
Well, let's talk
sisters.
About that. What is coming up on your tomorrow segment of Around Town?
Seriously, Bill,
yeah?
I have no clue what
you don't
we're
know
doing.
Yet.
It's at the corner of Clark and Randolph. Again, I'm working the corner.
Right. Well, congrats
and
on that.
I may be in a medieval times kind of outfit
but you're
because
not sure.
The Ren Fair people from Kenosha are
from
coming.
From Renaissance Fair?
From Renaissance Fair to hang out with me.
Won't that be nice?
It would be great.
It would be nice.
I mean, I miss my trip to Kenosha. I love to cross the border and I'm allowed.
Nobody's questioning that. Don't get defensive. Nobody's questioning your right to cross the border into Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're fine.
Sure.
Well, we'll be seeing you there
yes.
on the WGN-TV Morning News tomorrow. And I know I don't have to say TV, but I like to.
Okay,
and then you'll
Dad.
Be here on WGN Radio Show 1 to 3. Stick around. We'll find out what Brian Noonan has planned for you next. It's Bill Leff and Anna Balaval on WGN.